Blog Talk Radio.
Big Daddy Listen was a man to fear. You have Steve Van Buren and Otto Graham. Johnny United had the arm of a Superman. We had Charlie Trippi and Gino Marquette. If you're searching for a champion, they're your best bet. Which I could quarterback like Donnie Lou Jack or even Sid Luckman, as a matter of fact. Do you remember Red Brains, the galloping ghost? He could do a 95 running coast to coast. You had Norm Van Brocklin, a real great player, so swift with his moves that he could be mayor. Y.A. Tittle, Allie Madison, hey, I remember all those guys from back in the day.
It's the sport of king, better than diamond rings. That's why we're here to sing football. Sunday in the snow, referees whistle blows. Weekend warriors toe to toe. Football, 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 football.
Yo, 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 what's going on, everybody? It's your boys coming back to you with the new show of the new year, CMT Firestorm, and we are ready to get it on and cracking. This is bowl week. We're right in the middle of bowl week. We have a lot of new stuff we want to talk about. A lot of stuff going on. Guys declaring for the draft. Guys saying they're going to stay. It's going to be a big conversation today. Let me introduce everybody we got on the panel today. We got my boy Mike coming from the Windy City. What's going on, Chi-Town?
What's going on, everybody? Happy New Year, 2014. First of the year. Hey, man, I'm excited. These bowl games have been excited. Hey, let's go and get it cracking.
All right, all right, all right. Coming to us from Tampa, Florida, got my boy, the mouth of the South, Clauzel Mathis. What's going on, Clauzel?
What's up, man? Y'all can hear me?
Yeah. Hear you loud and clear, buddy.
Yeah, definitely, man. I'm excited. Ready to get into these topics, Johnny Manziel, NFL, Jameis Winston, BCS. I'm ready to get into it, man. Big Ten, SEC, let's do it, man. I'm ready to get into a fiery conversation.
Got the second part of our Tampa twosome filling in for Big Tex. Coming at us, the loud, loud mouth of the South. What's going on, Tony Watley?
What's up, people? Clauzel, ain't nobody trying to talk about Winston. Anyway, Happy New Year, everybody.
Well, I'm gonna let you go.
We love it that intro. It's 2014, but Jameis Winston sucks. All right, let's do it.
Wow.
All right, let's
you hear that, America? Wow.
Wow.
You hear that? Okay.
Let's start this off with reviewing some of these balls that we've seen come through here. We've had, like I said, a lot of bowl games been played already. We're right now in the start of the major bowl games. What are some of the games that have stood out to you guys? I know, I'm out here in the West Coast. So I get to see a lot of the Pac-12 stuff. That Texas game, Texas Oregon, stood out. You know, bad way for Mac Brown to go out. Hopefully, I don't know that, Texas is interviewing a lot of different people. If they can get a good coach, they're going to be good. UCLA, I saw them take on Virginia Tech. I talked about it with Tex and Clauzel. I've been reading a lot of sites on the Internet. A lot of people are talking about Brett Hundley possibly being a top pick this year.
you know. Just you know, but it's a lot, might have been overreaction from the ball game, but you know, and plus he hasn't even declared yet, but you know, we shall see. And also, you know, my UFC show just came out and handled business against the Fresno State Bulldogs. Quazelle, what are some of the bowls you've seen without you coming up to this week?
Well, I mean, mainly the game last night, obviously, where Johnny Manziel was able to take his team back. Yeah, that game definitely stood out. Outside of Georgia today, the SEC dominance, Mississippi State beating Rice, Ole Miss beating, I can't remember the team they played. So stuff like that. That kind of stood out to me, how the SEC is a dominant conference this year.
Well,
that's
Georgia,
it, pretty
Georgia
much.
Lost to Nebraska today. Did you see that game?
Yeah, that's the only one I can think of that kind of was a shock to me. But other than that, the dominant teams, the dominant teams of other conferences were beaten by lower tier SEC teams. The dominant teams in other conferences were beaten by lower tier SEC teams. Rice was the Conference USA champion, and they got blown out the frame by Mississippi State, a lower. But the
conference
best team
USA
in the conference.
The dominant conference.
No, but the they were the best team in Conference USA, and they lost significantly to one of the lower tier teams in the SEC. That's the point I'm making. So that just says that. That just shows that the SEC, how it's dominant from top to bottom. That's what
over,
stood
over,
out to me
over
in this
USA.
Bowl season. Well, yeah, they're definitely better than Conference USA, but what I'm saying is Conference USA's best is not even good as some of the SEC's worst teams. That's the point I'm trying to make.
Conference
you
USA
know,
is a major conference. They're not a major conference.
But the point of the, I don't think you get what I'm saying. I understand they're not the
I'm
best
not.
Conference, but the best team out of their conference beat was blown out by one of the worser teams, the lower-tier teams in the SEC. That's just the point I'm making. That's all I'm making. And that's what stood out about this bowl season, the SEC's dominance, and also the game with Johnny Manziel.
They've only played four bowls because a lot of the teams weren't even eligible. You know that,
yeah, but
right?
Those teams that they played, well, yeah, but the teams that they played, they wrecked shop with the exception of Georgia and Nebraska. And really, you can't even count that game because Georgia didn't really have their starting players, the quarterback. But if you want to laugh at that, you can laugh at that. It is what it is.
You can't even count it?
I mean, you can count it. Yeah, you can count it. But what I'm saying is, like, they didn't have their quarterback. This is the point. You know that. I mean, but it's whatever, man. You don't want to face reality. You don't even want to face reality. You don't want to face reality.
Let's look at these games. We had a number 21, Texas A&M, beat a number 24, Duke. That's expected.
No, we ain't talking about – wait. See, you're going into all of this bull crap about rankings. Forget rankings. We talking about best teams. We ain't talking about no rankings. Forget national rankings.
So the rankings don't have anything to do with who the best team is?
The rankings don't mean nothing. That is just sports people's way of trying to make sure that every other conference gets some kind of recognition.
Who the University of Florida play in their bowl game?
We ain't talking about the University of Florida. We talking about the SEC. Focus.
Yes, University of Florida is part of the SEC, right?
We ain't talking about the University of Florida. We talking about the SEC. Stay focused on the SEC.
I'm on ESPN.com, and I'm looking up the SEC schedule for bowl games. I don't see University of Florida anywhere on it. Is this a typo?
Excuse me, but like Quazelle was saying, had Mary played for Georgia today, those three field goals that they kicked would have been touchdowns, and that fourth and three would have been a completion, and Nebraska would have got mudstone. It's the bottom line.
Well, I give the Big Ten, a Big 12 now, credit. Well, even though Murray wasn't there, they still got him in the bowl. They got a win on the SEC.
If Mary had been the quarterback, instead of having a quarterback that's only played two games including one of those games being a bowl game, then all of a sudden that little win that Nebraska got by 4 points wouldn't have happened because Mary would have been scoring touchdowns instead of field goals. It's that simple.
I mean, are you moderating, Mike, Cali Mike?
Somehow Tony's rant just made my phone disconnect. It was amazing. But I have AT&T. AT&T can only stand certain amounts of bullshit before it disconnects. I set it up that way. But
yeah.
Mike, what bowl game did you check out? Which one stood out to you? Mike? Can you guys hear me?
Baby, say again, Cali Mike.
I said, what bowl games did you check out and which one stood out to you?
I really was impressed last night watching it with my old man, you know, Johnny Manziel. That was a big win. I mean, how they came back like that, Texas A&M. I mean, that was a heck of a game. I really liked that one.
Oh, and by the way, Cali Mike, all that stuff you talking about the Pac-12, Stanford got nut kicked.
Oh?
Michigan State put it on them.
You mean a close fight game? They lost?
Stanford got kicked to the nuts.
You mean in a close fight game? They lost?
Whatever, they lost.
Hold on. Now, the real question I want to know, well, first of all, Michigan State was ranked ahead of Stanford, but you said you don't go by
ranking. Whatever, forget the ranking.
Anyway, like I said, what I really want to know is what happened in the University of Florida's bowl game.
See, you trying to be funny, but you ain't trying to admit the truth. Your Pac-10 team, your Pac-12 team got
busted. The only bowl in the University of Florida this year is the toilet bowl.
Your Pac-12 team got busted, and the SEC is dominating.
Well, see, dude, I keep telling you, I have a good team that I root for, so I don't need to go by conference, dude. I don't worry about that. I keep telling only SEC people do that. And it sounds
no, please.
Insane.
Pac-12 people do that too. Pac-12 people
no,
do that too. Don't even go there, man. I was at FAM.
Let me ask you this question, Clausel. If the competition is so fierce, like you said, how can you root
it
for
is.
A team that you hate? If you're Alabama,
no, I never said I rooted for a team I hate.
Hold on.
What are you talking about? What do you mean
fan,
rooting for a team that we hate?
Root for Auburn. How is that?
Who are you saying I'm rooting for Auburn? Who said I was rooting for Auburn? What are you talking about? When did I say
you
I was rooting
for
Auburn?
No,
I said that they were going to. They have a chance of beating Alabama. Who said I was rooting for them? I'm an analyst, son. I'm an analyst. I have to be objective. You know, if Alabama's not the best team, I will say
you're
that.
Objective?
You know, of course I'm objective, and you know that. Come on, I'm objective. There was a time when I thought that Oregon was better than Alabama this year. I said that on the TV. I said it on the show. Look up the tape. You know, but I'm an Alabama fan to the heart. So I mean, when I was looking at the momentum, and I said Auburn has a chance of beating Alabama. I didn't think the week of the game, I picked Alabama because Auburn barely beat Georgia. I thought Auburn was going to blow them out, but they didn't. They barely beat them. So I picked Alabama, but at the same time, I still wasn't surprised that Alabama lost the game. That's all it was. I'm still an Alabama fan because that's how I was raised. But, I mean, I'm going to be objective when I see that, you know.
If you're a true fan of a team,
well,
it's a difference.
It's the difference between being a fan and being an analyst. I'm an analyst for the show.
Hold on. If you're a true fan of a team, there's no way you can support another team.
What are you talking about support? I'm being an analyst.
Are you kidding? That is ridiculous.
Tony,
one team, period, no nothing else, period. You can
not
just
if,
like your
team,
one team and nothing
else. Not if the teams
else.
Are going to be playing each other.
That's ridiculous.
You're a University of Florida fan, right, Tony?
Absolutely, but that doesn't mean I can't
you,
see the talent and goodness in another team.
But you rep the SEC, though, right?
Absolutely.
So when Florida playing Georgia, who are you rooting for?
I'm always rooting for the Gators when the Gators play, but I'm also always rooting for Florida. I'm also rooting for Georgia.
You mean to tell me that you can root for University of Georgia against their most hated rival, I mean University of Florida against their most hated rival in Georgia, and then the next week you can turn around and root for University of Georgia?
Absolutely. If it's Georgia against a non-SEC team, I can definitely root for the SEC team.
What does SEC have to do with anything?
Because I'm an SEC fan. I'm loyal to the Gators, and I'm loyal to the SEC. I can do them both.
Hold up. Mike, this is what I'm saying. If FAMU was playing Florida State, and I was a job as an analyst, of course I'm a root for FAMU. But if I say, if somebody asks me, who do I think is going to win, of course I'm going to say Florida State's going to win.
I understand that, Claudio, but you know better. You know better what I'm talking about, though. Like I said, Tony,
I know what you're saying, but I'm being an objective analyst. When I say, okay, I'm not rooting for anybody except for Alabama. But if I'm going to say who I think is going to win, I'm going to tell you who I think is going to win. That's what it boils down to. If I say the SEC is the best conference,
Tony,
okay, but I'm not Clausell. I'm not being objective. I'm telling you straight out, I am biased towards the Florida Gators, and I am biased towards the SEC. I am going to root for any SEC team against any other team, and I am going to root for the Gators against any team. That's the bottom line.
What does SEC mean to you?
The SEC means the best conference in America. That's what it means to me.
That's what that means to you?
Yes.
You're one sick puppy.
all right, but I want to kind of move on. We got some good topics here, man.
Let's move on from SEC madness.
No, we're getting to the SEC still, but it's just a different angle of this discussion.
Yeah, because you guys love the SEC. Anyway, like I said,
you like the Pac-10.
We all spoke of. I just like USC, but we spoke. Like I said, I don't like UCLA. I don't like other teams.
I'm not gonna backtalk you anymore.
Like I said earlier, I watch their games. This is where I am. This is where they show most of the games. So this is what I see. But I don't like those other teams.
So what you're saying is you would not pick Oregon over Texas. You wouldn't root for Oregon because like USC.
I'm not an Oregon fan.
So you wouldn't root for Oregon over Texas.
Kelly, Mike, that is not true what you're saying. This whole Pac-10.
What have you ever seen me do? I see it all the time at FAMU.
I see it all the time at FAMU. Remember when your friend, Shottown Mike's friend, what's his name from California? I forgot his name. The guy that played on the football team. He used to come in the dorm and always talk about. He used to come in there and always talk about Pac-12, this and this and this. You know, come on, man. I mean, come on. That's not true what you're saying. The same stuff goes on over there. So I mean, come on, man. I want to get to something different, actually.
Let me, I was trying to move on to you guys. Stop me.
I'm not going to back talk it. You can get the last word, Callie Mike. I'm not going to talk back to you, man.
I don't even need to. I mean, I've already said it.
You want the last word, man.
That's not something I do, so it doesn't apply to me. But anyway, like I said, moving on. We all talked about the last game last night with Texas A&M with Johnny Manziel. And what I want to know from you guys is, based on his performance, do you think that Johnny Manziel is a candidate for the number one pick?
No.
Well, no. Now, if I was a GM of the Houston Texans, I would take him as the number one pick. That's just the kind of dude I am. But I don't think he's going to be the number one pick, because if you look at it, when you talk about the number one pick, it's all about the measurables. You know, he can play the part clearly, but he just doesn't look
the
part.
He has the measurables.
No, he doesn't. What do you mean he has the measurables? He doesn't have he's 6'1". You know, they prefer the quarterbacks to be at least over 6'2", 6'3". You do have anomalies. I understand that. But in terms of like,
Russell Wilson have something to say about that.
But that's why they weren't drafted. Yeah. That's why they weren't drafted the number one pick. That's the point I'm saying. Those guys weren't drafted first overall.
Michael Vick was the number one pick. He's 6 feet tall.
Yeah, but he got a cannon. They run a 4.3. Johnny Manziel does not run a 4.3. Johnny Manziel does not run a 4.3. Now, he may run a 4.5, 4.6. He may have 4.5 speed, but he's just not Michael. He is not as fast as Michael Vick. That is not true. He's comparable to Michael Vick. No, he doesn't. He's comparable to Michael Vick, but he's not as fast, and he's not – like, he's. If you want to compare him to a player, you will compare him to Michael Vick, but Michael Vick was a little bit more quicker and more faster and had a stronger arm than Johnny Manziel did. That's just the point.
Johnny Manziel is
he's basically the Elvis. He's basically the Elvis to the Chuck Berry. That's all it is, right? Pretty much, if you want to go that route. He's more accurate, right? That's true. He was more accurate in college than Michael Vick was in college, but he does not have the measurables to be the number one overall pick. So he's not going to be the
number one overall
pick. But he's going to maybe go first round. He's going to go first round, you know. But I do – I think the comparison, he's the Elvis.
He's going first round without a doubt.
He's not going in the top. He's not going to be the number one overall pick. He may go top 10, but he's not going to be the number one overall pick.
I say it depends on how bad the team, whoever – I guess – yeah, Houston got the number one pick. Well, hey, since they got the
number one pick, you never know.
Houston needs something to say they franchise
exactly,
after 2 or 14. So,
exactly.
Yeah, it's a, looking at it now,
you don't think the Houston Texans are going to pick the top quarterback in the country from Texas?
Well, I think they would pick – well, I mean, it depends who's running the show up there. The fans obviously are going to want Johnny Manziel, but –
no,
the
fans are not.
Clyzel.
Yes, the fans will want Johnny Manziel. Are you kidding me?
The Lions are the mind coach, so of course they're going to want his guy at quarterback, so yeah.
They already have the guy.
Hold on.
They already got the guy from Houston that's back there now. He is already very popular with the crowd. And there's
but he's not.
No
he's not. He doesn't have
– going to go over Damian Clowney – with Johnny Manziel in Houston. No way. Houston prides themselves on their defense.
Right.
Houston,
no, but what I'm saying is, you're going
to
see – there's going to be another Jadeveon Clowney maybe 3-4 years down the road. Jadeveon Clowney is not no, like, you know, he's pretty much a Mario Williams. That's pretty much he is.
But I guarantee you
but what
they
I'm saying
will
is,
take a Clowney before they'll take a Manziel.
Yes,
Mario
they will
Williams
take a Clowney.
What pick for Houston causes you just said
exactly, but that's who he's comparable to. That's what Jadeveon Clowney pretty much
is. You're comparing him to a number one pick that went to Houston. That's the wrong example to say that he's not going to be.
That's the point I'm saying. But Johnny Manziel doesn't come every often. You know what I'm saying? He doesn't come every so often. So that's something you got
to
think about.
I just tried to say that he had the measurable number one, but you didn't agree with that. But now you're saying he doesn't come every often. Now, which one is it?
Yes, exactly. That's both statements I just said. Yeah, exactly. That's the truth for both of them. Yes, he doesn't have the measurables to be the number one overall player, right? But, you know, he's the type of player, you know, only comes once ever so often, kind of like that Reggie Bush kind of a player, you know, or that Michael Vick kind of player.
In other words, a guy that you might have to pick number one.
Well, you might have to think about it, yeah. You might have to think about it, but he doesn't have the measurables to do it. They're not going to do it.
You disagree with
it. Yeah. No, I said they're not going to pick him number one. I said they were not going to pick him number one. And I said at the beginning of the show, now a guy like me would pick him number one. I said that, but that's the first thing I said. Why do I feel like we agree? You know what, Kelly? We're agreeing, but we're disagreeing for some reason. I don't know.
Because
you like
to argue. Anyway,
Mike, it's not going to happen. The bottom line is, he is not going to be the number one overall pick.
Why?
Not over Clowney.
Why?
He's just not going to be the number one pick.
Yeah, say why. Yeah, you got to back it up with something.
I suppose because, for one, Houston has the guy that they have in right now that is from Houston, went to the University of Houston. They like this guy, and the crowd is wanting to give this guy a chance. Secondly,
but they like Johnny Manziel more.
Houston prides itself on defense, and there is no greater defensive player coming out of the draft in 2014 than Clowney, and I guarantee you that's who they're going to get.
Okay. I mean, like I said, I like Case Keenum too. I think he might be a good quarterback, but I think if you're
I think if you're a team where you think that your position of quarterback is the most important, which I think Houston, that's what they're thinking, I think you have to pick a quarterback number one. I mean, you got to look at the situation they're in. You only got Andre Johnson for so many more years. He's what, 30 or 28? Are you going to 28, 30 now? So you only got him for a couple more years.
What are you talking about?
Houston could very easily be a team that misses their window of opportunity to make it. You know, we've seen it happen with teams before that didn't make the right choice at quarterback. That's all I'm saying.
Hey, Kelly Mike, who are you saying it was 28? Are you talking about Keenum or are you talking about Shaw?
Andre Johnson's 32. Actually, he's 32 because he's older than me.
I think
Andre Johnson is done in Houston. I think he's probably going through a rebuild. And at this point, he want to win. I think he might be a guy.
He ain't done.
I think he might need a change in Houston. Because I don't think he wants to win. He's frustrated. He wants to win.
It depends on the quarterback. I mean, is this, like I said, this is a team that people thought were going to be a contender this year. You remember at the beginning of the
year?
Yeah,
I remember the AFC Championship.
My question is this. How many teams in the NFL right now truly need a quarterback? There's only two or three places in the NFL right now that truly needs a quarterback. Most of the places just drafted a starting quarterback in the last two or three years. They're not going to start a quarterback.
I can name at least six teams off the top of my head that can use a quarterback.
Name them.
The Texans.
They
the
got
Jaguars.
That. Keenan.
The Texans, the Jaguars, the Rams, the Raiders.
Come on now.
Vikings,
listen to who you're saying. These are teams that have brand new quarterbacks. Gabbard is at Jacksonville. You got
no, they're
Keenan
done with Gabbard.
At Houston.
Gabbard lost his job. He lost his job. It was Chad Henne was playing most of the time this year.
Exactly.
They're going in a different direction.
Look at the top five teams that have picks. You got Houston, St. Louis, Jacksonville, Cleveland, and the Raiders. All those teams could use a quarterback.
I don't think the Raiders are going to go for a quarterback. I don't think that Jacksonville is going to go for a quarterback.
You look in the next five. You got Tampa Bay, Minnesota. Either one of those teams could very well pick a quarterback.
Yeah, Minnesota's going for a quarterback.
But Glennon is the quarterback of the future at Tampa Bay unless the new coach decides to go a new direction.
That's what I was just about to say. Tampa Bay is going to have a new coach, and new coach might want his quarterback. You know, just like how Shiano wanted his quarterback.
I'll say about the Vikings, though, Matt Castle. He was looking pretty good, I guess, turning this stuff around, but they definitely need to probably bring someone else in to challenge. But he was looking all right, though. He was playing pretty good, but he got his chance there. The only thing with Minnesota, they don't have a first-round pick. Remember, they made that trade with the Patriots or somebody, to get the receiver, Cordell Patterson, so they don't have a first-round pick. So they're going to have to look in free agency, possibly again, if they want to bring someone else in, maybe to challenge Mike Castle, because I think Castle is the guy ahead of Christian Pounder and, Josh Freeman really didn't really show.
The Vikings have the number 8 pick, right?
Yeah, I think the Vikings, that's what I was thinking. They're going to try to get a quarterback.
Remember they traded when they didn't have a first-round pick because they got the three when they gave up. They gave up a first-round pick to get that Patterson guy.
I don't know about all that.
Well, they still got a first-round. They still got a first-round pick.
I mean, I know we're going to get into the NFL later, but I also think that all of these places you're talking about that need quarterbacks, you got people like Michael Vick that are out there now. And if they're just looking for a one-year solution, and,
well, we're gonna,
you know,
we're
they
gonna,
got
gonna,
there
gonna,
are those viable quarterbacks out there that can fill in for that year or two.
We're gonna get into Vic a little bit later because you made a point on Facebook that we're gonna talk about. I think that was you who put that on there.
Yeah,
we're gonna talk
he sure
about
did.
Later.
I mean, but look, like I said, looking at these teams, like I said, it's gonna be. I think we're gonna be a run on quarterbacks. I mean, I think, like I said, I think we might see. Six quarterbacks. Like I said, I feel, you know, I was talking last night. I think Todd Boyd might still get into the first round. You know, I think we might see six or seven quarterbacks taken in this first round.
You say, yeah. I mean, you say you think there'll be six or seven quarterbacks taken in this first round, Cali Mike?
I think he sees it. I mean, as we've seen before,
with Christian Ponder, all it takes is one team in need of a quarterback to jump up and preach, you know? We've seen it happen before.
Yeah, that blew everybody's mind with that Ponder pick, so yeah.
Yeah. But looking at what we did with the draft, I recently posted my top mock draft on the Old Eye Truth stage. Clausel, he put his both of these on the CMT Firestorm webpage. Clausel recently put his top 10 on the CMT page. Besides the David Salmi, besides the usual suspects, who are some guys? Who are some guys who stood out to you this bowl game who you really think improved their stock that we haven't talked about in this bowl season?
The guy from Arizona, Kadeem Carey. I don't know if he's coming out though. I think he kind of stood out to me. I don't know if he's going to. Well, I don't know the way they value running backs now, so I don't know how high he would go. But he had a pretty good outing.
I can see him being a good second round, third round pick. You know, I mean,
yeah.
I look at a guy like Eddie Lacy. You know, he was a late pick and he came into the perfect position in my opinion. You know.
Yeah.
I mean, if he stays healthy, I mean, I could see him being in Green Bay and being successful for a long time. You know.
Yeah. That was just out of
better.
I think you guys are underestimating Bridgewater. I really think Bridgewater is going to be a top five pick.
I think he's going to be a top five pick too. I mean, he stood out. He stood out in the bowl game. But you know, I've been hearing different things about him though. I don't know why. I just, like I said, I read a lot of different stuff on different sites, and I've just been hearing different things about it. I don't know if guys are completely sold on it. Now, this was before the bowl game. You know, I mean, yeah, you know, he came out and he played like number one. But, you know, like, I don't know things about him.
I don't know if the guy from Wisconsin, the running back, I think his name was Wilson. I just watched the game today. I don't know if he's a senior or not, but that boy is bad.
Yeah, he's staying.
He's staying for another year. I like the guy out of Louisville.
Who'd you take, Lavo?
This guy out of Louisville. He played pretty well. Marcus Smith. I kind of liked him, too. I think he's going to go into the first round. I think he's going to be a pretty good player on the next player. So those players kind of stood out to me. Actually, I'm watching the game right now. I'm looking at Blake Bortles. He's actually not looking that bad. I didn't know he was that mobile. I don't think he's going. I don't think he should come out. But you know,
have you gotten to see him in person?
I actually saw him in person when they played USF, and I didn't think he looked all that good. I still think he should stay in school for another year. But you know, he's not looking that bad right now on TV. What I'm watching, but
you watching the Fiesta Bowl, Clausel?
Well, I'm watching it, and I'm on the show at the same time. Yep.
Okay,
yeah,
but
he's somebody who people have been talking about as a top three, possibly even a top six overall.
Yeah, they talk about him being a very high pick because he looks the part. I mean, you know, he has the size, he has the speed. I mean, he can run a little bit.
What is his arm like?
He got a live arm. He has a live arm. So
accurate?
Somewhat. He wasn't that accurate. Well, yes and no. He wasn't that accurate when they played USF, though. I don't know what happened there, but for the most part, he's been accurate all year. I only saw him play two times. I saw him the USF game, and I saw him when they played South Carolina on TV. You know, so
that's going to be.
But
but
the best two players. Hold on, but the best. Oh, what were you going to say?
No, I was just going to say something about USF. Aaron Lynch, he declared for the draft too. Now he didn't have a bit of a year as people thought he was going to have at USF, but I could see him somebody is blowing up in the combine. He's going to have very good measurables, and you know he's a physical beast. So he's somebody I could see blowing up around combine time.
But I mean, I think the best two players. I mean, I have to jump off the cover. The best two players are Clowney and a dude from UCLA. I think those are the two best two players in this draft. In terms of just all-around players, you know, guys that you know they're going to come in there, guys you know they're going to come in there and make an immediate impact. There's going to be a guaranteed Pro Bowler, unless something crazy happens, like injury-wise or whatnot.
In the last few drafts is they've been taking a lot of linemen in the first five picks. That has shocked me.
Offensive linemen or defensive?
Either way, I mean, mainly offensive, but what I'm saying is it is just amazing to me how many that they really are taking in the first round, in the first 10 picks.
All right.
That's crazy. Well, people,
these
games are won in the trenches, you know, and people are starting to realize that. Besides your quarterback, you know, especially with the devalue of the running back position, if you can get a dominant offensive line, that means you can almost put any running back in there who's half decent. He can get you, you know, 4 or 5 yards of carry. You know, and plus, you know, you want to protect your quarterback. You know, I think it's direct relation to the quarterback too, because you want to protect your quarterback and you want to put the other team's quarterback on his back. You know, so it's like, you know, and like I said before, I mean, besides the quarterback, in my opinion, and I'm biased because I'm an old defensive lineman, but I think that a good pass rushing lineman is the second, you know, is got to be your second priority. And in my, you know, besides the quarterback, in my opinion, you know, I mean, I've seen too many, you know, look at Clowney. He didn't have that good of a season, but you know, I mean, he still got a chance of going number one. You know, just because there's, you know, it's a premium. It's always been a premium ever since, you know, football's been around. You look at guys like Deacon Jones and, you know, other guys, you know, Alan Page, you know, there's always been in every era, you know, some linemen, you know, up to Reggie White, you know, there's always been some linemen that, you know, can dominate a game and almost, you know, almost get to that quarterback level. Right now we're in the golden age of quarterbacks, and, you know, teams have to do something to combat that, so.
Something
well,
just
it's
happened
a breaking news.
In the Central Florida game because my son is downstairs screaming like a madman.
What happened? What's the breaking news?
Yeah, Lovie Smith is Tampa. Going to Tampa is official.
Yes!
We want to hold on. Let's get to these callers first. Hold on.
This is another thing you said would never happen, right, Cosmo?
No, I never said it wouldn't happen. I would just hope. I mean, let's see. I'm rooting for Lovey to see what he can do, man.
Is it true? Is it official? Is it official?
They're saying it's
official. It's official.
Yeah,
it's official.
I'm looking on NFL.com right now, and they're saying it's official. Now, Clausell.
All right, that's what I want to hear.
I want to get into this on the NFL section. Hold on, let's get into these callers first. I want to get on this on the NFL section.
All right, hold on. I want to get this in there real quick, though, because it has to do with the draft. With Lovie Smith coming in, would you feel more comfortable with Teddy Bridgewater going to Tampa now, maybe?
I don't know. I mean, it depends who's the GM. I don't know what – they hired Lovie Smith, but who's going to be the GM? Are they going to be on the same page? I would hope so. Maybe the Lovie Smith would talk to the owner because, like I said, you have to have – for it to succeed, you have to have you have to have a GM, you have to have a coach, and you have to have maybe one member of the local media to be in your corner at the beginning. You know, one member of the local media to be in your corner. But if you don't have all those three in sync, you know, you're going to have a tough time. Like, that's why I got respect for Donovan McNabb, because he was in a situation where the GM and the coach wanted him, but the fan base and the media did not want him there the whole time. So... So you gotta look at it from that standpoint. So hopefully, I don't know who they're gonna hire as the GM. So that it's all contingent on that. Are they gonna let Lovey do the whole thing himself? Because I mean, maybe he's qualified to do that. I mean, are they gonna bring in an offensive mind? Because my thing is, Lovey's a defensive guy. So I mean, you kind of essentially replacing Shiano. So not that I don't know what Lovey Smith's coaching style is. I really don't know, but he obviously is pretty good. But I mean, who's going to have to generate that, to bring in the offense? So that's all that things factors in for it to see what's going to happen, you know.
Okay. All right, well, let's bring in our first call. I believe this looks like to be James. James, what's going on? You're on the TNT Firestorm.
Yeah, man. I mean, I just got that report over the phone, too, about Lovey Smith. So I'm kind of surprised about that one.
What do you think about the balls that have been played and everything, and any players that stood out to you or anything like that?
Well, during the bowl season, well, I mean, you've seen like Manziel, show out, and I've seen Bridgewater show out. But I said earlier on Facebook that I would put Bridgewater in the number 3 pick with the Jaguars, and I would put Clowney at number 1 with the Texans. I agree with Tony that I think their quarterback they have right now, I think they're going to keep that quarterback and then see what happens with the full offense there, because he didn't work with a full offense this season.
That's true. That's true. What do you think about Manziel? Where do you think he might fall?
I don't know. I see him. He might be a top 10 pick, but I'm not sure. I'm not sure if he's going to end up being a top 10 pick. But there are a lot of teams that do need quarterbacks. I don't know if all of them would draft a quarterback, but I would put Manziel around the 10-15 range in the NFL draft.
Well, you know what, man? Personally, Cali Mike, you know where I think he should go. And that would put that team back on the map, I think, in terms of the national spotlight, man. And that's the Oakland Raiders. That's where I think Manziel should go, personally. You know, that would put Oakland on the map right there. If he went to the Raiders, that would be like must-see TV right there. So
I would like to see him, and knowing from how the Raiders pick players, I hate to say that, but knowing from how the Raiders pick players, I could easily see them picking him. But I don't know. We got a lot of needs. The way I set up my draft was, I'm hoping that he gets picked before that. I want us to get to David Clowney, tell you the truth.
Oh, that ain't gonna happen. That ain't gonna happen. He's gonna be gone by 6, so you might as well not even forget that, man. He's gonna be gone. If he doesn't go number 1, he's gonna go number 2 or number 3, unless he like fails a drug. I don't even think if he fails a drug test, he's still gonna go in the top 3. So, I mean,
well, I was gonna mention this too earlier. Do you guys think that they're gonna delve into Johnny Manziel's history with his arrests and all the trouble he got into this offseason, and maybe that might hurt him in his draft stock?
No.
I think he would have been in the same spot.
James?
Oh, who's that?
I don't think you got to realize that the Manziel family has already said anybody that brings that up again is going to get sued. So I guarantee you that is not going to be an issue.
Well,
you got to realize he comes from a very wealthy family with some very wealthy connections, and they have already said anybody that brings it back up is going to get sued.
It's easy for them to say that with other broke people, but now they're going to be in the world of other millionaires, and that threat might not hold as much weight when you're dealing with million and billionaires and billionaires.
I don't know. The thing is, if they've already got the case to where they can already come out to the public and say, if you bring it back up, we're going to sue you, then they've already got all their ducks in a row. They're just waiting on somebody to do it.
Okay, it could very well be the case.
What if somebody says something that's a fact, though? What if somebody says something that's true? I don't understand how they can sue them.
Obviously, they've spun it to where the allegations and the things that have been talked about are either
flagrant or misleading or something to the point of where they already know how they're going to defend it, and they've already told people, any more conversation about it and you're going to be sued. And nobody else has talked about it.
They could say,
and I don't think nobody else is going to talk about it.
Who
y'all talking about, Clowney? Or
Manziel family.
Oh yeah. You know they might bring that up. You know they probably gonna bring it up around the draft time again or something. Or something they might ask, but
I don't know.
We'll see on that. It was a surprise. Or
we can revisit it as we get closer there. It'll be interesting to see though, because it could be considered a form of some type of form of slander. You know, maybe because it's hurting his potential future earnings or something like that. They could find a case. I don't know.
Depends on too what kind of story that comes out. At that time, for now, to then, we don't know. Let's say if another big story happens, you know, somebody fails a drug test or some other crazy story happened, then I might just be shrugged under the floor if that turns out to be the case or something. So we just got to see.
The bottom line, people, is you know as well as I do, money talks. That's just like the kid in Texas who got drunk, killed 4 people, and critically injured 3 others and got probation. Why? Because he was rich.
That kid had affluenza.
Money talks.
He had affluenza, man. Come on, you got to be sensitive to that.
All right, hold up. I got to put on.
I think we got Matt on. What's going on, Matt?
How's it going, fellas?
What's going on, Matt?
I just want to clear some things up here, because I've been messaging back and forth with some of my sources, and I mean they confirmed me that they had interviewed Lovie Smith, from what I understand, during the season, and they interviewed him again after the season was over, and he has agreed in principle to being the next coach. And they've offered him the job. He has not signed a contract. He is not the Bucks coach yet. I just want to make sure that he's not yet.
But as long as he is saying he is, I'm happy.
Well, I'm just saying
he
agreed in principle. What's that?
Was it publicly known that they interviewed him during the season?
That's what my sources tell me, that they interviewed him during the season. They talked to him. They reached out to him.
That wasn't publicly known, though, right?
That was not public. Just like when Darrell Revis came here, you know, a while back to do his physical before they really started considering for the draft. I mean, I talked about that on my show. There's a difference between reports and something that's just, you know, definite. Like right now, he has definitely agreed in principle to be the next coach, and the Buccaneers have offered him the job. I can tell you that.
That's
for sure.
That's great. Can we stop
now
beating around the bush? Nebraska sucks.
The Florida guy says that. The Florida guy that didn't have a bowl game, lost to a Division I AA school.
Come on,
let's get the meat of it.
Nebraska sucks. They lucked out and won their game today because Mary wasn't there. Come on, I want to hear this argument you got about how now Nebraska has shown that the SEC is not dominant.
Nebraska sucks. Then that makes Florida the shit of the dung beetle that shits out the shit.
Okay, we can accept that. Now, I'm not talking about Nebraska.
Yeah,
let's talk about
we beat
Nebraska.
Georgia today.
We want to hear you tell us why that because Nebraska beat Georgia, all of a sudden that sorry ass conference out there is as good as the SEC. Come on, let's hear it.
The Big Ten is not as good as the SEC.
Hey, but you know what though, Matt? I put on your Facebook earlier, and I want to know what you think about it.
I mean, I feel that if you guys had got rid of Martinez earlier, I think the Nebraska teams would have been a lot better. I mean, what do you think about that? If they would have maybe had a Armstrong or Kellogg.
I don't know. I've never really been a huge Martinez fan. But he's kind of if he was he hurt his toe in the first game of the year. So he's had turf toe all year long. So he's tried to play through it, and it hasn't worked off. And it's on his push-off foot. So it's affecting what little accuracy he did have. So,
but it just seems, though, that he kind of, like, peaked his freshman year, and he kind of has been going downhill ever since, though.
That really seems to be the case, because he's tried to do what too many quarterbacks do in college football that shouldn't be quarterback. He should have just did what Eric Crouch did. Don't try to be the quarterback. Go listen to the Eric Crouch interview. He's like, I didn't have to pass. We hit the ball, pound the ball, pound the ball, pound the ball, and then we eventually throw it downfield to a guy that's wide open because they think we're going to pound the ball.
Exactly.
That's Nebraska's passing offense. Go over the top when they think you're going down low. That's it. That was it. Dink and dunk here and there. That was it. It wasn't these integral passes, and he's been working on footwork and mechanics. And sometimes when you try to progress one part of your game mechanically, it messes the rest of it up. And I think that's really what happened with him. He would have just stuck with running and passing when he had to. He would have been great. He would have still been a Heisman candidate. He would have won more O'Brien awards, you know. It would have kept going.
Can we get to the meat of this conversation?
What?
You tell me on television, I mean on national radio, that you think that what happened today with Nebraska is legit, and that had Mary been at the quarterback at the helm of Georgia,
Nebraska
still would have beat the Georgia
won, yes.
Bulldogs. I want to hear you say
yes.
that.
I think if Georgia had all the receivers that weren't hurt and Murray that wasn't hurt, Nebraska still would have won today. Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
And I also
you need
think
to step
Randy
back
Gregory
about the strike.
And I also think Randy Gregory is as good as Javian and Clowney, but
oh my
we're not going to get into
that
talk
that's
either.
I did look him up. He is good, but he ain't no Clowney. No, he is not Clowney.
And the thing is, because Nebraska plays a 3-4, not a 4-3. He's always been a stand-up outside linebacker, and this year he's adjusting to being a hand-in-the-dirt defensive end. That's a learning curve this year. Next year, telling you guys, Randy Gregory, keep your eyes on him.
In the Jadavian Clowney? Come on, all right, whatever.
Clause,
yeah,
his wife is putting something in his drink. You know that. Come on now.
He has the size, the speed, everything that Javian Clowney has, and the talent.
So you going to tell me.
We'll see next year. We'll see. I will be looking at him closer. You know.
So
you
going to tell me when they kicked those three field goals because they could not score, could not get first downs in the red zone, had Mary been there, they would have kicked those field goals? They would have still kicked those field goals?
Probably would have picked a couple passes off.
Wow. And you're going to tell me on that very last play when it was fourth and three and they playing with a quarterback that's only started two games, including that bowl game, that Mary wouldn't have completed that pass?
Yeah.
For the touchdown.
It was Lynch that dropped it. It wasn't the quarterback's fault. Lynch dropped the ball. The tight end. He dropped it.
So
he was there.
So
it
was the
pass
matter,
where
it
needed to be. It was set. It was right on the numbers. He dropped it.
Okay.
Hey Matt, I'm looking at this guy you were talking about, this Randy Gregory. Now
yeah,
is he a traditional DN? Did you? Because it says I'm looking at it. It says he's only 230 on here, but I know sometimes that's wrong. I mean, what
no.
is he? Is he an outside linebacker?
He's traditionally he played in JUCO. He was the number one outside linebacker / defensive end recruit last year. Number one, top 20, every top 20 ranked school, the top 20 ranked school, every one of them were trying to recruit him. But he was traditionally a rushing outside stand-up linebacker. You know, just like they use, like Clay Matthews, stuff like that. Like, but he was more like Robert Quinn. And that's what they've been trying to work with him on at Nebraska, give him that facet like Robert Quinn has with the Rams. I know I'm going from college to pros, but I'm just trying to find somebody to explain how what kind of explosion is there, because he has size and he has room to grow.
Wow, Matt, you do know there's a health issue warning out right now to tell people from Nebraska to get off all that high fructose corn syrup, right?
Hey, Matt, is there any chance that this guy comes out this year?
No. He didn't even turn in the paperwork to be graded by the NFL.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm looking at it. He had some pretty impressive games.
And what, how many more years of eligibility he has?
Two more years of eligibility, but he'll be a senior technically next year. But he could you know get in on one more year if he had to. But he'll graduate.
But like I will give you props. I will give you props, Matt. Wilson is legit. That boy is bad.
That's what I'm saying.
That boy is bad.
Okay.
I'll give you that, because he was eating them up today.
Yeah. Let me put you on hold, Matt. I want to bring this other caller on. 407, you're on with CMT Firestone. What's up?
What's going on, man? It's Steve. Man. Happy New
Year.
What's
going on, Steve? Happy New Year to you, man.
What up? Man, y'all just be talking about a whole bunch of nothing on here sometimes, man.
Well, now that we got you on here, Steve, you know we're going to have to talk about your boys now, man. What happened? Y'all in your hometown, too. What happened, Steve? Did you go to the game?
Yeah, I went to the game, but I'm looking at UCF right now. I'm looking at
that. Hey, Steve, you got the Bear and Packer game, Steve?
Huh?
You was at the Bear and Packer game?
Bear, no, Miami, Louisville.
Never mind, he's talking about the U. I thought he was talking about.
I was talking about the Louisville Miami game.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I went to Louisville Miami game. I went there just to see Bridgewater, though. Really, see what he was about. I already knew Stephen Morris was going to look bothered out there.
He did. He sure did.
Yeah, you were definitely right on that one.
But you know what?
Between Stephen Morris and Logan Thomas at Virginia Tech, I haven't seen two quarterbacks drop off the map like this ever. I mean, they went. Both of these guys were guys who were talking about first rounders, and you know, now it's like, are they even going to get drafted? You know.
Yeah, it'll be late rounders. They'll be late rounders. They need more.
We seen that time where I remember some years back, maybe about 4 or 5 years ago, when Jevin Snead thought he was going to be a first-round pick and he didn't even get drafted.
Well, that was Jevin Snead thought that, though. But not
Yeah, but we've seen him before where he just, everybody thought he might as well be a first-rounder and he didn't even get drafted.
Well, yeah, we've seen some guys. I remember, what's his name, not to get too far off the subject, but Andre Dawson, when he came out, people thought he could be a first-rounder and he fell completely off the map. I don't even think he's playing football anymore. But anyway, Steve, what do you think about the U, man? I mean, what is it going to take for them to come back, man?
What's it going to take?
Yeah.
It's gonna take, all you got to do is just turn on TV and look at all the recruits that's on everybody else's team, and that's what it's going to take. Storm Johnson.
Well, I know you see y'all didn't get cooked, right? You know he's going to FSU.
Hey, man, he can go where he want to go, man. Look, they got a good I mean, right now, I'm on a high for the state of Florida, period, except for the Gators. I'll never let them. But, you know,
FSU finna do their thing. UCF finna do their thing right now.
FSU is out. Hey, Steve, FSU is done, but pretty much Alabama right there. That's an Alabama pretty much right there. FSU recruit Alabama. FSU recruit Alabama, Florida, that north part. They recruit South Florida, but they recruit a lot more in that north. They recruit a lot in that north area in Florida and up in Alabama too. So
they do.
You know what I'm saying?
And Georgia.
Alabama too, because the top two quarterbacks for FSU from the state of Alabama.
But the bottom line is FSU going to fall just like all the rest of the all-cupcake conferences falling in the bowl. Every one of them.
Wait, just before you go there, I knew you were going to say something. Okay, so they cupcake, right?
They definitely cupcake.
So what? How do you let Duke, who got smashed by FSU, play a seesaw game with Texas A&M?
It wasn't too seesaw in the second half, because in the second half they scored five touchdowns on them. The SEC separates itself in the fourth quarter. That's why we are, is because we show our championship showing our speed and showing our endurance in the fourth quarter. That's where we separate ourselves from the rest of the conferences, is in the fourth quarter.
The score in that game?
Quarter is what makes us the best.
Wait. What was the final score in that game?
51-48 or something like that. We were down by three touchdowns with 5 minutes to go in the third quarter.
Okay.
Hey, man, I don't want to beat on a dead horse here, but did anybody notice Tony just said we? This is what I'm talking about.
I'm an SEC fan.
Steve, the difference in that game pretty much was Johnny Manziel. That was just the difference in that game.
Right.
That was just the difference in the game right there. Right. But,
okay.
You know, my thing is, the SEC is still the best conference, I still think, in the country. This year it was by far. I think it was this year by far. I don't see how you can make a case that it wasn't.
Previous years, I agree with you, but this year it by far wasn't.
I say this year by far. I think
the past 5 years.
No, at the beginning of the year, everybody thought it was the Pac-12, but then we all came to realize
at the beginning of the year, everybody thought it was SEC when they had like.
Yeah, but the Pac-12 had a lot more of the Pac-12. But in terms of the top tier, the top 10 teams, the Pac-12 had a lot of teams in the top 10. So people were beginning to think that
the
Pac-12
champion got blasted today.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And towards the end of the year, we all came to realize it was the SEC. The SEC was the best conference this year.
And the
Pac-12 champion got blasted today, people.
How do we even get talking about this SEC thing again?
I don't even talk about it no more. I kind of wanted to get into why Miami needs to get back to where they need to get.
I was going to say, since we were talking about Florida State, y'all saw that Jimbo going to sign a 5-year extension, but they said that didn't rule him out for the Texas job. So, hey, I'm just saying, he could have bought the Texas. If he goes, Florida State, boy, they're going to be in some trouble. Who's going to bring in to be their head coach? That's all I got to say on that.
Miami
has a disadvantage in regards. They're in a place where they have a lot of talent, but their school is not that big, and their facilities are not up to par with everyone else's facilities.
Cut you right there, because they just built all new facilities. So
I know, and they are private college. They can do anything they want to do.
They can do anything they want to, but their facilities. No, they're not on the same level as FSU in Florida. They're not. No, they're not. Miami's facilities are not. They got some upgraded stuff, but they're not still on the same level as the FSU in Florida.
I disagree.
That's what happened to Miami. That's what happened there. What are you talking about? The point I'm saying is.
Since they built their new facilities, have you been there? Oh, no, I haven't been there since they built the new facilities.
No.
That's what I'm saying. If they're brand new, nobody, you don't know. All right.
What you about to say, Steve?
I was going to say, they got brands making new facilities. This is not something that happened 2 or 3 years ago. They just built new facilities now. Like, The Rock, you know The Rock, got at WrestleMania or whatever. You know, they built a center in his name or whatever. He donated money or whatever they did. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, I think he gave, $1 million or something?
Yeah, he gave a lot of money to school, but... They got a lot of facilities now. That is not that. That's nothing that they're gonna have to complain about. Like, I mean, they got. It's like Mark Cuban type stuff up in there, man. But it doesn't matter.
And the,
it's Miami.
The
you know what I'm saying? It's Miami.
FSU, I mean, yeah, the facilities in Miami don't matter. You got professional players who still come back to Miami to deal with those facilities. So that doesn't matter.
Right.
Not, the only reason Miami has fought, the only reason Miami fell off recently is because of the threat to the sanctions that they thought they were going to get hit by. Now that they know that they're not going to get hit by those sanctions, you're going to see Miami coming. You know, look at their recruiting class. Now that they know that they're not going to be under sanctions. You know, you're going
to
see them come back up.
To
that was the only thing that was stopping them.
They just landed the top defensive tackle JUCO recruit. He's coming to Miami. That dude's a beast. So I don't.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to start getting the recruits again.
I'm not talking about good. I'm talking about like Alabama. Are they going to be back to being like the Alabama level good or the old Miami good in the near future? Is that what it is?
I
understand that, but they already are on that good level. I mean, they're consistently going to bowl games. You know what I mean? Stuff like that. But are they going to ever get back to that Alabama or that old Miami level? That's the point I'm saying. The U level. That's the point. That's what I'm trying to ask. How long do you think it's going to take to get to there?
They will never get there again. You know why they will never get there again? It's because back then they were independent, and they could choose who they played, and they could do whatever they wanted to do as far as recruiting. Now they are part of a conference, and because they are part of a conference, they have to fall within those conference guidelines. And in that conference, you have FSU. And I'm telling you, you're going to be splitting the players, and you're always going to be having that problem, and they will never get to be that dominant you anymore.
That's not true. The only thing Miami needs to get, like Tech said, and you know we were talking about on Facebook, y'all remember, is a quarterback. A lot of these teams in Florida have not had quarterbacks for the past couple of years. And like Tony, even you can verify. University of Florida struggles.
That's no Florida
around
state.
The quarterback,
I will
right?
Say that.
Yeah, if Florida can get a quarterback, they'll be a different team. If Miami can get a quarterback, they'll be a different team. Look at what a quarterback.
You just had Eli Manuel. You just got Emmanuel go to Buffalo from Florida State, and now you got Winston. How are you going to say they don't have top quarterback?
And also, Christopher Fowler went first round. I'm talking about Florida State. As I said, Florida State's an exception.
Come on, now they got top quarterback.
You just named
two quarterbacks. Name another quarterback besides.
You're saying that they don't have any. That is not true.
I said that the quarterback can turn the program around. If you're listening, you're so ready to argue. I said, look at what Jameis Winston is doing in Florida State. That's just what I said.
He ain't turning no program around. EJ Manuel went 12-2 last year. What are y'all talking about?
If you're going to sit here and try to convince yourself that Jameis Winston didn't turn that program around this year, you go ahead and do that wildly.
He did not turn that program around.
You can convince yourself that all you want.
We argued that point to the ground already. I didn't want to argue through that all over again. That's good. That's not going to lead us anywhere.
How do you consider 12-2 a bad season? He did not turn that program around. They lost two games last year. Two.
That's a big difference between losing two games and losing zero games, Tony. That's a national championship.
Okay, but that ain't a turnaround. How the hell is that a turnaround? It's two games.
If you're a big guy, you're a different swag.
But he ain't turned the team around.
In college football, there's a big difference between losing two games and losing zero games. It's called going to the national championship. You don't see that?
But that's not a turnaround. That is an improvement. There is a difference. Words have meaning.
So talking,
a turnaround
so now
means
now
you went from worst
so
to
talking,
first.
So now you're talking
they
semantics.
Were already first.
So now you're talking semantics as opposed to proving a point.
No, I'm talking proof. You gotta you said turn around. Turn around means I flipped it. It means I was bad and now I'm good. They were good last year.
Oh my goodness, man, we're getting in this insane area where we argue about anything again. All right, let's move on.
Thank
you, Chi-Town. Thank you.
That's why we're going to have a playoffs next year,
baby, and
all this
BTS
crap.
Thank you, Chi-Town. Florida State was good last year. Florida State did not suck. If Florida State sucked last year, how did E.J. Manuel go to Buffalo in the top 10 picks?
Hey, Clausell said he was going
to
go on his mouth.
Christian Ponder went to,
went
to Minnesota, and he sucked. So what are you talking about?
It's a waste. I'm not gonna argue this with Wiley.
I'm not arguing this
with Wiley again.
Paul
Conner
had a decent year last year. He just really regressed last year, but he did what he had to do last year, though.
Okay. That's great. Whoop-de-doo. Let's move on to our NFL. Let's move on to our NFL portion. All right, let's get into this Lovie Smith thing. This is the biggest news we have right now.
Yes.
What?
Tampa, baby.
Even though we've heard that it's not in concrete yet, what do you guys think about this move? Is this a good move for Tampa? Is this a good move for Lovie? What do you think about this? I want to start off with Mike because Lovie used to be the coach of the Bears. Mike, what do you think about this move for Lovie and the Bucks?
Well, it's going to be a great move for Lovie. Goes back to Tampa, his roots when he was NFL, you know, when he was NFL coach, you know, assistant coach. Weather's a lot better. And, you know, hey.
I forgot about that. You
got to get that defense there, you know, it's to me really the strength of that team again, and maybe get a little bit better. But hopefully, being in Chicago, learning his lesson on the offensive side of the ball, which, you know, we had discussed about this last year, that we were saying, I think maybe this year, too, that we're saying that we didn't think that Lovie Smith was ever going to be in check. I think y'all were saying that he probably was never going to be a head coach in the NFL because, you know, he was there for the years in Chicago and the defense we had, but he never couldn't get the offense right with the coordinator, you know. And that was the thing. We all know the NFL is an offensive-driven league. He's going to get that going. So now in Tampa, I'm not following your boy Glennon, and I think they're going to get a quarterback, and they better maybe get Bridgewater or somebody, or maybe they get Michael Vick or somebody, but he's going to have to get a quarterback again. And that's kind of, as a Tampa Bay Bucks fan, yeah, you got him, but that's something he's going to get right. He's going to get right good. And I heard that he was saying that he was going to bring Kelly Mike, your boy, Stafford. He was supposed to be, Lovie Smith's offensive coordinator. They were talking about that the other day on one of the shows out here. They were saying Stafford, though, look at some of the track record of some of his quarterbacks. The only quarterback that really, you know, he did great with Aaron Rodgers when he was his head coach, but I thought Aaron Rodgers was going to be a bust, just like Kyle Boyle was going to be a bust when he came out of Cal. So none of Stafford's quarterbacks out of Cal really done nothing other than Aaron Rodgers. But then they did say he did coach your boy David Carr. But see, that's the only thing with that now, like, you know, Tepper, you know, he had a little track record on that, but I just say, man, Lovie better, if he's going to go with that guy, Tepper better do it right and better do it right good, or if he flops and be a bust, it's going to be the same old stuff. Lovie Smith can't do it right on offense, and we know it's an offense league and he got to score. That's all I got to say, but I'm glad he got a second chance, and I hope he learned from what he did in Chicago.
All right, what do you think, Clavel?
I mean, I look at Tampa, and I consider Tampa to be a mini Chicago. So I mean, he was able to succeed in terms of the fan base in Chicago.
You love saying mini and junior, and you love saying,
yeah, Tampa's a mini Chicago. That's a fair analogy. Tampa is a mini Chicago in terms of the way the fans are. and how they relate to their players and things like that. That's what Tampa is a mini. Chicago's a lot meaner, a little bit more meaner, but Tampa's kind of mean to a degree, but it's a mini Chicago. That's what it is.
On the level of Chicago,
he was able
though.
No, I said it's a mini Chicago. It's not on the level of a Chicago, but the way the fans think, they think pretty much the same.
I didn't know there was that wrapped up a fan base there, but okay.
Maybe you haven't thrown on blackout games.
Yeah.
Ain't never been on blackout here, my friend.
Because y'all got more people there. Y'all got a lot more people there.
How do you think the fans are going to respond to Lovey?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't think it'll be that great. I mean, what I'm reading right now on my social media is good, but I don't think it's going to be that great. I think, you know, it'll be blackouts. I mean, it won't be blackouts. It'll be the same amount of people in the game as it was last year, which wasn't that many. But, you know, once we start winning, I mean, I think, but the point I'm making is I think he'll do a good job because he was able to handle the situation in Chicago that's very similar to what he's going to go in Tampa.
Okay,
but it's
going to
be easier for him. It's going to be easier for him here in Tampa than it was in Chicago because he's built to deal with stuff like the crap from the local media that he's going to deal with here in Tampa. Because the local media here is horrible.
Yeah, that's a good point. I understand what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Tony, what do you think?
For me, I kind of mirror what Clausel's saying, but the way that I see it is the structure of Tampa football mirrors the structure of Chicago Bears football. We focus on defense first. We focus on great lines on offense and defense, and then we put adequate players at quarterback, and then we hit it up with great running backs. I mean, we literally mirror each other as a team. If you look at the Tampa teams that were successful and you look at the Chicago teams that were successful, don't look at the names. Look at how the structure of the programs were set up. They really mirror each other. And that's why I think Lovie Smith coming from that program to this program is a great, great thing because he already understands that in Tampa we know that defense wins championships. And because he understands that, he knows that's where we got to get it right first. And once we get it right first there, we get the right offensive coordinator with the right GM willing to spend some money and get the right people in there, and you will have a championship in Tampa in the next 4 years.
Yeah, I think, and I think he's going to do very similar to. It's going to be pretty much like Dungy's back. That's what it's going to be like. It's going to be very similar to how Tony Dungy was when Tony Dungy was here in Tampa. You know,
That's a good thing.
Tampa, like I said, in that division though, Tampa got to get better make sure if they don't get Bridgewater, they're going to have to get a quarterback. And you got Drew Brees, Cam Newton, and Matt Ryan in the division, so you're going to have to be able to score points. If you can't score points,
I was just about to say that with all the talent in the conference, it's not going to be easy for Lovie to get in there and succeed. I mean, especially if Cam Newton is just starting to scratch the surface of his potential, like I think he might be. I mean,
I'm not convinced.
But what I just said to you guys that you guys are completely blowing off is the fact that he is a defensive genius. He is going to set up his defense to be able to handle a Cam Newton and to handle a Drew Brees. And New Orleans does not have a defense that you really have to worry about. Now, I have to say Carolina has shown a pretty good defense, but if you get a pretty good offense against them, you can beat them. So if he gets that sound Chicago Bears-type defense, I'm telling you, they can win this division.
I didn't mean to cut you off, Callum. Mike, go ahead.
No, go ahead, Mike.
Tampa and Carolina, too, but Tampa's got a big free agent they got to decide. You know, McCoy, he's a free agent, so it might be a possibility. He might not be coming back.
And Revis is technically a free agent because every year they have to decide if they're going to redo his deal. I mean, bring
okay,
him down.
We don't have to keep worrying about the old heads. Recruit the new guys. You got talent coming out of college every single year. Recruit.
Okay, but hold on now. With Mike made a good point with McCoy. Now, is Tampa's salary cap structure? I mean, can they even resign McCoy? Because he's going to ask for a lot of money coming off the Pro Bowl season. Are they
yeah,
in a
will.
Situation to resign him?
I really don't know, to be honest with you. I don't know.
Well, I think they will, considering they let go of their quarterback that they were giving all that money. Think about it. When they let go of Josh Freeman, that had to free up some money.
Yeah, it did.
Well, I think they still have his money on the books though, from what I understand. I mean, just because you release a guy don't mean you ain't gotta pay him.
Yeah, because they
got it was his contract year.
They paid him when they cut him. What I'm saying is, they made a settlement with him. They cut him, and that freed up some money 2 or 3 years that they were going to have to pay him that they didn't. They don't have to pay
oh,
him.
No,
they
no,
can
no,
take
this
that
was his
money
contract
and
year.
Restructure it for somebody like
oh,
McCoy.
His contract was up.
Yeah, this was his contract year. So
yeah,
they don't have to pay him.
Okay.
So they have money for what's the guy's name? Gerald McCoy. So I think they should just keep the guy and bring in a veteran. I think they should just keep who they have and bring in a veteran instead of drafting somebody if they want to win quickly because they.
What about I don't want to.
I'm kind of though concerned about McCoy.
What about William Golston? He was what do you think about it? What do you guys think about him? I mean, like I said, he's a guy who I thought would make a big splash in the NFL, and I know he's sitting on you guys' bench. And he's somebody who I could see, turn into a potential, if he scratches his potential, too. He could turn a potential, big-time pass rusher for you guys.
Golston.
Golston was a safety. 49er who signed with the Bucks. Talking about the safety.
I thought he was with the safety.
No, I said William Golston. The guy drafted him out of Michigan State last year.
I don't remember. Wiley, you know who he's talking about?
No, I'm clueless as to who he's talking about.
I'm thinking Golston, the safety. I can't remember the other guy.
Y'all don't know
y'all on
team. But anyway, y'all got one.
I'm a Giants fan. I follow the radio, man. They talk about Golston, the safety, man. I follow the radio, the local media.
I was going to say this about McCoy, though. Only thing about him, though, I would love if the Bears could use him too. But only thing about him, I know, like you say, he don't want big money. He got durability concerns. Being hurt the past few years when he came in, that's the only thing that scared me. He don't want to break the bank. Paying him all that money. That's a big question. I don't know if I want to pay him all that money because he has, to me, durability concerns.
Like I said, the bottom line is you can get some great players coming out of college and put them in the system and tell them that this is their team and they are going to play for you. You're going to get a couple of years to get it figured out. And if they do good in that first year and then they become veterans that second year, you don't get 3 years to be a veteran. After that first year, you are expected to do your job. And I really think you can go and get some great players out of college and forget McCoy, forget Revis, forget all them boys. Yeah, they were great, but they were great before them and they will be great after them. Look for the future and forget these boys. You ain't got to give these boys all this money.
Yeah, I was
25 years old, though. Tony, he's 25. He's in the beginning of his career. And he's
okay, but he's always hurt. If he's always hurt, he's a liability.
I agree with Tony on that. He's been, to me, the health thing is concerned with me about him. That's the only thing,
I think they should re-sign. I do think they should re-sign Gerald McCoy. I don't think he should just get rid of him.
How many years do you give him?
I don't know, 4 or 5 years?
Four or five years?
He's definitely going to break your bank. He's always going to get paid. Somebody's going to pay him.
From what I'm looking at on his record, he was hurt in his second season, and he's played every game since then. So,
last year he didn't really play up to par, though. Last year he wasn't as consistent.
Yeah, I don't know about all that.
But
I really think we keep talking about the team, but it's about Lovie, because Lovie is going to come in and he is going to change everything. So we may as well not even talk about McCoy and Revis and anybody else, quarterbacks, running backs, anything else, because until this man gets in and decides what he wants to do with this team, we're just chaffing and we don't know what we're talking about. We got to let this man set up his team first, and then we can critique it.
I'll say this one question for y'all, since y'all see it.
I think he deserves it. I watched him this year, and he earned his paycheck this year.
Yeah, I think he earned his paycheck, too. I think he's still a very good – he's still a top good defensive back. You know,
yeah.
I don't know if he's still recovering from his injury still, but even with that, he's still pretty good. I think he'll be back to being the best in the DB in the league in the near future. So,
right.
You know.
What?
I think he earned his money. Yeah, I think he will be back to being the best DB in the year. League. I think this year he kind of was recovering a little bit, but he still was pretty good. And I think next year he's going to be back to being Darrell Revis.
I agree, Revis Island.
I think he was pretty good this year.
About all that, you guys. I mean, getting back to being the best DB in the year in the end of his career.
Yeah, I really do. I think he is. I think he will be.
At that time, telling Mike before the injury, you
I think he will be.
You got hurt. You ain't hear nothing about Revis. And, you know, this year, you know, maybe with Tampa Bay being losing and all the stuff they're going through, you really didn't really hear too much about Darrell Revis. Just the whole team, just like we all because of Shiano. And I'm glad that's the one thing they made right, firing him, because that man lost that team, man.
But like I said, we really need to not even talk about Tampa until Lovie comes in and put his system in. Then we can critique what we think he did right and wrong about it.
But no, what I'm saying is they should just keep Glennon this year. Let him fail. You know, they'll go 8-8, you know, because let him fail for a year.
Wait a minute. Did you just say let him fail?
Yeah, because that's what's going to happen. The teams are going to figure out. They're going to figure him out, and he's going to not do well as he did this year. Trust me, that's what's going to happen this year. But the thing
why
is,
are you a hater, dude? What did this dude?
I'm
do?
Not a hater. I know what I'm talking. Man, I've seen this stuff happen 100 times. I know what the heck I'm talking about. I've seen this happen 100 times. When a team just falls in love with some dude, a team just falls in love with some dude where the stats look decent and you really don't watch the games really closely to see he's not as good as people think he is. And then the teams figure him out. Then the next year the teams will figure him out and you're going to be like, what happened to him? Or blah, 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 blah. So bring back Gerald McCoy. Keep Glennon. Let him, because based on his stats, he's earned another year to see what we can do. And once we realize he's not the future, get a quarterback in the following year. I don't know if they can get Jameis Winston. I don't think they'll be able to get Winston, though. But I would worry about getting a quarterback in the following year.
Mike Glennon must have did something to you. Did he steal your parking space or do something
to you? That's what I'm talking about. That's that whole blind, did Reggie Bush steal your girlfriend line you said to me at the beginning of the year? Oh, please. Whatever.
I mean, come on, dude. What did this dude do? I mean, you said let him fail. I mean, okay, I don't want to get too far at that, but anyway.
There's some other things going on. You got to understand, you guys from California, Chicago, and things like that, you live a different reality than we live. Southern politics is real, and you guys just can't understand it. That's what he's trying to say without saying it. He's being very covert about what he's saying instead of overt about what he's saying.
Yeah, Wiley's the overt one. I am the covert one.
Exactly.
According to Clausell, things are the same all over.
No. That's just like right now. I mean, we're going to probably get into it because you said we will, but that's just like Michael Vick. I don't give a damn. The starting quarterback on any team in the South were to break his head. They are not going to make Michael Vick a starting quarterback below the Mason-Dixon. You can bet on it.
Okay. I mean, I might agree. Like I said, I don't think Vic's a very good quarterback anyway, but that's a different story. We're going to get into that later.
The only place Michael Vick's going to get a quarterback is up north, out west, or maybe somewhere in the Midwest. He will not be a star. He won't even be on a team in the South.
Let's wrap up the coaching meeting. I want to talk about Bill Stewart going to Houston, Texas. What kind of fit do you guys think that's going to make in Houston? Well, like I said, that's not set in stone either. But what kind of fit do you guys think that can make in Houston? I mean, what do you think that he brings to the Texans? I mean, I know this is a big quarterback guy. You know, he's really coached up Hackenberg. And last year, you know, he was successful with McGloin. I mean, I don't know. Is this just a case of the most popular coach, you know, getting a job? Or what do you think, Caldwell?
In terms of Bill O'Brien and
Bill O'Brien, Texas.
Is this the case the most popular guy getting the job?
Yeah,
I don't know. You
think he's qualified? Just like with Shiano, you know, sometimes they just pick whoever is a hot, you know, college coach and just shove him in there. I mean, what do you think?
Well, I mean, yeah, I guess he's qualified. Wasn't he the offensive coordinator for the Patriots or something? So
yes, he was.
Two, three. So I think he's qualified, so we can see what he can do. I mean, if he was the coordinator of the Patriots, and you know how good the Patriots offense was, so I guess he's qualified. And he did a pretty good job at Penn State, so I'm interested to see what he's going to do.
I mean, that could If you stop
to take into perspective what Penn State has gone through in the last 3 years, think about what Penn State's gone through. They lost their legendary coach. With him, they lost like 15, 20 scholarships. You had all of the starters leave and go to other teams, and they were put under suspension. This guy came in with all of that going on and still gave them a winning record. That says something about him.
Well, I mean, Lane Kiffin has a better record than Bill O'Brien. So. And he's no longer
but,
coach.
But you're missing the point. The point is he took a nothing and a really bad situation, and he turned it into a very positive situation.
I just said that Lane Kiffin came in the same situation at USA and did the USC and said the same thing, but for some reason you're saying that I'm missing the point, and I just related it to some to a different situation.
Lane Kiffin is not an O'Brien.
He is a little bit more extreme.
What?
I think the Penn State situation was a little bit more extreme than what happened to USC.
Extremely more extreme.
USC was hit by the hardest sanction since. You guys don't even know what you're talking about. But okay, anyway. All right. Let's move on. Like I said, I mean, dude's a good coach. You know, being an offensive coordinator doesn't guarantee success. You know, ask Charlie Weiss about that.
Look, Mike, you are tripping right now. USC's image wasn't tarnished. Penn State's entire image was destroyed. It wasn't just a coach. It wasn't just football. It was the entire state of Pennsylvania that got destroyed when all of this came down. USC didn't go through that for Lane Kiffin. This man came in, and the entire state needed his help, and he picked that entire state up. Lane Kiffin didn't do that for USC. Come on.
What are you talking? Okay. The dude is 15-9 overall at Penn State.
I'm not talking about a record. It ain't got nothing. It's about bringing them back into legitimacy. You are missing the point that there is no way you can sit and say what happened at USC is equivalent to what happened at Penn State.
That has nothing to do with what he can do as a coach in the NFL. What you're talking about has nothing to do with that.
Well, he already proved what he could do as a coach in the NFL. He took New England to 3 Super Bowls.
He did?
He
was
the
offensive coordinator.
He was the coordinator for the last one, Tony. Charlie, I don't know if
he took them. He took them.
Hold on.
Mike, he took them.
Charlie
took them. Not one, but took them.
Charlie Weiss was the offensive coordinator of those Super Bowl teams, and he sucked as a coach. So what are you talking about?
No, he said.
That's what I just said.
No, he took. He didn't say won. He said took.
Yes.
Because New England went to other Super Bowls, too. Right,
they did
Mike?
Not go to no damn three Super Bowls under Bill O'Brien.
Yeah, he did.
Random stuff.
Okay,
Bill O'Brien was only a coach at New England from 2007 to 2011. What three Super Bowls has New England been in since then?
2007 they were in the Super Bowl. 2009 I think they were in the Super Bowl.
Crosdale Giants.
Yeah, those are two Super Bowls he was in the Patriots are in.
And the year they didn't make the
Super
Bowl.
Crosdale, if you were listening, he said three Super Bowls.
Oh, I meant two.
Like I said, you guys aren't even listening. I was just arguing.
Again, you are the one that's into semantics. You want to nitpick. You're missing the big picture. The big picture is this guy has proven that he is bigger than just the amount of games that he can win. You statistic guys want to get stuck on statistics. There are bigger things than the statistics in football and in sports.
Charlie White. First of all, it was Charlie White. Then it was Josh McDaniels, who was the offensive coordinator of the Super Bowl team. But you guys want to give that the credit to Bill O'Brien because you know what you're talking about, right?
Again, you statistic guys want to get stuck on the numbers, and the numbers ain't what it's all about all the time.
I didn't say anything about numbers.
The intangibles matter. The intangibles matter.
I said Josh McDaniel was the offensive coordinator of the Super Bowl team, but you guys want to give that to Bill O'Brien because you really want to prove a point, right?
Can we move on because you're wasting time on this show trying to prove your point, right?
You said Bill O'Brien was the offensive coordinator for two Super Bowls. Well, you said three at first, and that's what qualified him to be a coach. I said no, he wasn't. Then you had everybody co-sign you, and I just proved you guys wrong, right?
You can
okay,
have the last word, Kelly Mike. You can have the last word, Kelly Mike. I know that's what you want.
No, come on.
You can have the last word.
Right,
I'm not going to talk back to you.
Am I right or wrong?
I don't know.
Okay,
I wouldn't pay
attention.
I'm watching the UCF game.
He wasn't. Because you guys keep saying stuff is not true, dude, and we don't need to say stuff is not true. We can just say facts. Dude was not the offensive coordinator of those teams.
Let's get
so
some callers.
If I was to say he won seven games and he actually won six games, then I need to just be quiet because I don't know what I'm talking about, right?
Yes. Yes, exactly.
Where's James
anyway,
at?
Anyway, let's bring in some callers. Let's bring back in James. Maybe James can talk some sense to you guys. James, we got people that are naming people offensive coordinators for teams that they weren't. But anyway, I want to know, what do you think about the Lovie Smith being the head coach at Tampa and Bill O'Brien possibly being the head coach at that time?
All right. I need to go to something here. Did Clausell say that Tampa was the mini Chicago, man?
Yes, I did.
They didn't say it to them.
Oh, man.
I let him slide on that, man. You know what I'm saying?
Come on, man.
Well, why?
No.
Yeah, why? Why not, James? Tell me why.
I don't see, even like personnel wise, I don't see the Tampa defense built like Chicago's defense.
No, I'm not. That's not what I was talking about. In terms of the fan base.
But,
in terms of the
no,
fan
no,
base
no,
and
no,
the media.
The fan base. No, no.
And the media. And the media. Mm.
No, Clausell.
No. You're stretching. You're stretching.
Well, how am I stretching it?
Because you got to – here's the thing. To bring up something that Tony says about, you know, the South being completely different than the North and West when it comes to politics, okay? When it comes to sports and how a city supports their team – it is completely different when you look at the Chicago's, the Green Bay's, the New York's, and that type of thing to a Tampa Bay, a Jacksonville, a Miami, and an Atlanta. And it doesn't really necessarily have to deal with the population. One, that is a big factor, yes. But two is, the cities up north adopt their sports teams like they are part of the sports team. Not many do that in the South. Maybe with the Dolphins.
What?
I know a lot of Dolphins.
That's not true. That is not true what you just said. That's not true. Keep going with what you said.
Hold on.
I'm going to let you finish, James, and I got to respond to that. But no, that's not true. Keep going.
Now, the way I say that is this, okay? You wouldn't have a team like Tampa Bay, who recently was one of the top teams in the league, go from being one of the top teams of the league to being bottom dwellers, almost, in some cases, and have a poor attendance in their football games. If they are a consistent team as far as fan support goes, you wouldn't be having blackouts for a whole season or two. You don't necessarily see that in Chicago and Green Bay and those type of cities. You will see it
in Green Bay.
You will see it in Jacksonville. You might see it in Miami. That's the big difference.
First of all, I was talking about.
I gotta get in here right here where you're at right now.
I was talking
about
the racial.
The reason why is because in the South, people don't just attend games. People take pride in their team. Pride in when you say that you are a Florida Gator. You are a Florida Gator, and you really you are an extension, that 12th man. You know, just like they say in Seattle, that 12th man. You really feel it. So when things are going bad, the way that you make the owner understand what's going on is you don't go to the games. You got to realize these games are already paid for because the people who are buying the season tickets have already paid for those tickets, but they still are not coming to the games. That is their way of telling the coach something. Now, you guys may handle it differently in other places, but that's how they handle it in the South. It's the way that they make the coach understand that they are not happy with what's going on with their team.
It makes sense.
And also the racial politics. Hold on. The racial politics is very similar in Tampa in comparison to Chicago. It's very similar.
Wait a minute. What do you mean the way we handle things up here? James is from Florida, right?
I know.
Okay. Now, here's one thing, okay? I'm not going to say anything about stuff like the Florida Gators and the Florida State Seminoles and that type of thing. That's a whole different story because you not only take pride into the football team for Florida, but you, like Tony is a Florida Gator, period, no matter what. So it doesn't matter if they went 3-9 last season, 2-10 last season or whatever. That first game at Ben Hill Griffin Stadium is going to be sold out. Regardless, but it's different when it's a professional sports team. It's pretty different when it's a professional sports team. I can make an example with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, that's one, but you could say something about, hey, the Orlando Magic or you could bring in the Tampa Bay Lightning or whatever, but I'm just saying, as a professional.
Hey, you could even say the Miami Heat. And they win, and they still don't be selling out all the time.
Mm-hmm. The real difference is tax dollars. The one thing you don't understand is in college football, we understand that as taxpayers, we are the ones that pay everybody. So we don't have to not miss a game to let them understand. We can go to the game and tell them to their face they suck. Why? Because we pay for their salaries, and they don't have to listen to us whether they like it or not. In professional sports, it's not the same way. That man could give a shit of whether we like something or not. So going to him and telling him we think he sucks ain't going to change the way he does nothing with his money. It's his money. So what we do to make him understand that we think what he's doing is wrong is we try to embarrass him by not showing up to his games. And if he gets embarrassed enough, he's going to start thinking things.
Yeah, being impressed like that in that way. Like you said, it's all about the fans. The fans are the ones that pay the money to the players and make the owners money.
Owners are all about egos. They're rich billionaires and their egos. I guarantee you, no matter how much Jerry Jones loves Romo, if all of a sudden half the people that come to Dallas Stadium says, we will not attend another game until you get rid of Tony Romo, he will get rid of Tony Romo. Because every Sunday he will embarrass that the stadium is only half full.
Okay. Yeah, the politics, man. Hold on.
We go about making these billionaires understand our position in a different way than we do with our colleges. We pay the taxes for our colleges. These billionaires, they got these television contracts. They gonna make their money without us. So we got to find another way to make them understand our position. It's a negotiation.
Well, you got
I understand
you got
that. I understand that, but
like I say, it's still not the same as it is in Chicago and Green Bay. It's not nowhere near the same with those teams, as compared to the Bucks and whoever.
Yeah,
else
but y'all have no college football teams up there to root for in Illinois and
that's what I'm saying
in Ohio. Well, I mean Ohio
exactly.
State. My bad, but
that's a good point, which means it's not the same situation. So you know, it's different. You know, different situations, different teams. But anyway. Let's talk about this Michael Vick thing that Tony brought up earlier. Vick has came out and said he thinks he's going to be the starting quarterback of the Philadelphia Eagles next year. I don't agree with that. What do you guys think? And what do you think is Michael Vick's future? I mean, is he even going to be in? Is he going to be in Philly? Is he going to? You know, where is he going to end up at? Claudio, what do you think about that?
I mean, he's done. He's going to be a backup somewhere. I mean, he can come to Tampa.
Who's that?
Would they accept him in Tampa, you think?
Would they accept him in Tampa?
Yeah.
Probably not, unless he wins, but I don't think he will. No, they won't. Of course not. They're not going to accept him in Tampa.
Who are you talking about, Fazel?
You talking about the fans? You mean the fans, or are you talking about the GM or the coach? What are you talking about, Shottown? I mean, Cali Mike.
You said you think he'll be a backup. I mean, this like I said, this somebody. You think he's gonna be a starting quarterback next year? That's what I mean.
Oh.
I mean,
they could. I don't know where he could go. To be honest with you, I mean, he can go to Cleveland. He can go to Tampa.
Who are you talking about? Who y'all talking about? Since I'm back.
Michael Lewis, Oakland.
But I mean, you know,
you go to Oakland.
You know, I mean, do you think a team would take a flyer on him? You know, as being their starting quarterback. I mean, some of these teams, you know, they're on the. You know, like I said, some of these teams they just need a quarterback to turn themselves around. So I mean, if you're a Houston or a Cleveland, well, Cleveland need more than that. But you know, if you're a Houston or a team like that, I mean, would you take a Michael Vick? I mean, do you think he's somebody you could trust? I mean, do you think he has any gas left in the tank or what? I mean, or was there any?
I mean, maybe
with?
Maybe he
really
can back up. Yeah, let him back up. I don't know. I wouldn't take a chance on him. But you know, it just depends who I have. I mean. If I think he's better than who I have now, I would go. But I don't know any teams that would say Michael Vick is clearly better than who I have now.
I think it's some teams out there.
Yeah, but I mean, he's shown that he really can't throw the ball. I mean, except for that 1 year in Philly, in terms of being a passer,
I think he'll look good in Kansas City.
Hell no, Mike. You know, you're trying to upgrade over Alex Smith, and you're going to go get Michael Vick.
Hey, I say he's better than Alex Smith. And in Tampa Bay.
Okay, I'm.
People forget he got. He went to the NFC Championship, man. He's been there before with last time in Atlanta. He got to the NFC Championship, so hey. He got something in Kansas City. Hey, you know, hey. But he still. I mean, he still got something. I mean, but he got the pieces. And he got the pieces in Kansas City. They got a line. He got a running back, and he got a tight end, and he got a receiver.
I'm not.
And Philadelphia had a trashy line when he was there. You notice their line is better this year, but the past few years, Philadelphia Eagles offensive line sucked. It's one of the worst offensive lines in football.
Chi-Town, the problem that you and, like I said, you and Callie Mike, y'all don't understand Southern politics. It ain't about – they don't give a damn if he had a shitty line. They don't care about all of those things. What they care about is he killed a dog. That may not – that may make no sense to you as a just normal, everyday person, but you have to understand who your audience is. And these people down here in the South, they can't stand that nigga. And you can say what you want. You can be upset. You can. They can't stand Michael Vick. And I'm telling you, he will not be on anybody's team south of the Mason-Dixon line. You can forget it. It's not gonna. They're not even going to put him on a backup. But I can tell you,
I never said they would take him. That's why I asked the question in the first place.
There's two teams I really think he can truly help. That team is the Arizona Cardinals because Carson Palmer sucks. Carson Palmer needs to go ahead and retire.
I disagree with that one, Tony. I'll with you to that point. I disagree with that, Tony. Carson Palmer's been playing pretty well this year, my friend. Bruce Arians, they're doing pretty good.
Statistics all you want. Listen, let me finish what I'm saying. Carson Palmer sucks, and he is why Arizona did not win this year is because he sucks. Yeah, he might have his up-and-down games, but he is so consistent, he sucks. He would make Arizona a better team. And I think that he also would make Minnesota a better team because it's obvious that Minnesota is looking for a quarterback. That's why they went with Josh Freeman. They want a quarterback. It is obvious they want a quarterback. And it's obvious that in the draft, they're going to draft a quarterback. Why? Because they have all this money for Josh Freeman. He came out one game, and he screwed up, and they know they're going to have to go to the draft for a quarterback. I think
they kind of did Freeman wrong on that one game. That man wasn't even ready and all that.
You a little bit. Hold up.
I disagree with all what Tony said on that.
Hold on. I agree with you and I disagree with you a little bit, Whiteley, when you say talk about the Southern politics. Yeah, I'll give you that in terms of, yeah, they may not want him on the team, but the same thing I think could happen in a lot of other places too. Like in Chicago, if Michael Vick was starting for Chicago, he'd be scrutinized highly. All right. If he was playing in, let's say, Cincinnati or Cleveland or someplace like that, he'd be scrutinized very highly, too. So, you know,
but Ohio,
that's just the thing.
Ohio may as well be considered part of the South. Cleveland and Cincinnati, he can forget it. That's not going to happen.
I mean, I think he could be a good backup in Cincinnati. You know, like you said,
it'd be the same in Kansas City, too. Cowboys. It'd be the same in Kansas City. It may be even the same. Well, I don't know. Maybe the same in Denver too. So that's what I'm saying. So I mean, this happens a lot of places. That's the point I'm making.
I had to disagree with Tony saying Carson Palmer. Oh, go ahead. I ain't mean to cut you off,
Tony.
I'm gonna say though, I disagree when you say Carson Palmer. The Cardinals did go 11-5, Tony. So I mean, if it was you know the NFL talking about playing the playoffs, this thing legitimately could have been a playoff team, or maybe they was in another conference. They probably, if they was in the NFC North, they would be in the playoffs. So I don't think, you know, Arizona, I mean, Bruce Arians is good, but I don't think, you know, Arizona needs Michael Vick that bad. But I agree with you on Minnesota. Yeah, Minnesota should take a flyer at Michael Vick.
For me, the bottom line is, will Michael Vick play again? I truly doubt it. He said he's going to start next year. I can't even fathom the team that would sit their quarterback right now.
I think it's some teams, like I said, he could start. Like I said, I think it's some teams, like he could start. Like I said, like Minnesota Vikings, I agree with you on that one. I think Kansas City Chiefs, okay, like you said, him and Andy Reid had a nice relationship with, and I think you're going to give him a chance because you know Kansas City is not going to get to the promised land.
There's no way Andy Reid would sit Smith for Michael Vick. No way.
No way. Yeah, no way.
Hey, it's about winning a big one, though, man. If Alex Smith doesn't win his playoff game this year, which, you know, it's a possibility. I mean, I could be that talk and chatter in Kansas City
happen.
Because they got the talent there on both sides of the ball. You got to look at that.
That's
we all know.
Happen.
It's all about looking at the quarterback.
That's not going to happen.
I think me and Tony are actually in a
game. We'll see.
Not gonna happen. What other teams do you think, Mike?
Well, too, like you said, Cincinnati Bengals, I wouldn't be surprised on that either.
The Bengals over Andy
That's
Dalton?
Not going to happen. Dalton is not going to get fit for Michael
Come in and challenge Dalton. Let's say if Dalton screws up pretty bad in the playoff. You know, Cincinnati is my dark horse team in AFC. Let's say Dalton played pretty bad in that first playoff game, really bad where they lose. I mean, that's going to be tough again. They still going to be talking about a quarterback out there.
Chi-Town, come on. Cincinnati has won that division for the first time in 15 years. Come on. There's no way they're thinking that Andy Dalton is not doing his job. Think about that.
Oh, really? No, that's not true.
But to the last game, Dalton threw four interceptions, man. You know, his defense is good, but he did throw four interceptions.
No, they're thinking, like, is he going to be the guy to take us over the hump to get us to a Super Bowl? He could take us to the playoffs, but is he going to take us to
not going
to
sit him for Michael Vick. We are talking about
that's not
what team in the NFL
is going to
sit their current quarterback for Michael Vick next year. And if you say it's Cincinnati, I'm telling you, you're crazy.
Yeah,
that's
that ain't
going to
happen.
Anything, like I said, anything is possible. That's all I said. We'll see what next year brings.
It's not possible.
Yes, it is.
Anything is not possible. That's not going to happen.
I'm looking at teams. What about saying Jake Locker doesn't come back healthy next year? Tennessee could be a possibility.
Not going to happen. It's in the South. Not going to happen.
But Tennessee has McNair and Vince Young, though. But Vince Young kind of, you know, he was just going through some stuff there, man. Let Bowen and fans got to him and all that
McNair
type of stuff.
McNair and Vince Young did not kill dogs. Again, y'all are missing the point. It ain't about him being black. They hate the man. They hate what he is. They hate who he is. It ain't because of his color. They hate him for his person, who they think he is. And that matters. In the South, that matters. These people are religious, conservative people. And if he is a mean enough person to kill dogs who they consider family, he is a bad person. He's as bad as a murderer.
Okay, let me bring a caller back on. I think Steve, what's going on, man? What do you think about this Mike Vick situation?
Well, I kind of feel where he was coming from about him. I don't know. I mean, there's people still mad about Michael Vick. You know, what he did. I was at work one time. Just like two or three weeks ago, this girl almost threw my head off because she's like, I hate Michael Vick. I mean, what he did to those dogs, and then everybody in the school, like, ganging up on me about Michael Vick, you know? I mean, these people really don't like what he did to the dogs, man.
I'm telling you, the people in the South see their dogs as an extension of their family. Their dog is not just some animal. Their dog is their family. And when you have a human being that is killing and fighting dogs, to them that's like killing one of their children. They really see it that way. They are very, very conservative and very, very religious in the South. That's why it's called the Bible Belt. And I am telling you, Michael Vick will not ever play in the South, ever.
Hold on. Wiley, see, when you say that, it's kind of like the same stuff happens everywhere, man. The people love their dogs everywhere, you know.
Okay.
You can get that same treatment in New York, too.
I agree with Tony Wiley.
No, because you got some liberal-minded people in New York. That's why he can go to a New Jersey.
Oh, okay. I see what
you're
saying.
He can go to a Giants. He can go to a Philadelphia. But
yeah,
he cannot go to a Tampa. That is not going to happen.
You.
He cannot go to a Tennessee Titans.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. Tennessee might be a little forgiving with the young man.
Please. No, I'm from Tennessee. I promise you that's not going to
happen.
I'm from Tennessee. I guarantee you that's not going
to
happen.
T. Martin won the national championship. Does Tennessee ever talk about T. Martin? Let's just put it that way.
Hey,
he come out there on that field, he'll be like Martin Luther King coming out there on that balcony.
Hey, we only got a couple more minutes left. I wanna broach this to you guys too, though. Looking at now that we're about to be going into the playoffs, even though we're gonna have the show next year, what do you guys views about the upcoming playoffs? Who do you guys like going into here? Like I said earlier, I gotta look at Cam Newton, man. Dude is hot right now. You know.
Do you know why he's hot?
Why is that?
Because one of the best quarterbacks to ever play in college football is his quarterback coach.
Who's that?
Yeah.
Ken Dorsey.
He's just a little bit better of a.
I mean, that's,
he's
that
just
is,
a little
he
bit.
He is from California. We do usually produce the best quarterback.
He's just an upgraded A.J.
Wow.
McCarron, man. Ken Dorsey's just an upgraded A.J. McCarron.
But just think about it.
What is this I'm hearing?
That's all A.J. McCarron is, a Ken Dorsey. That's all A.J. McCarron
no,
is.
No, don't say that. Don't say that.
Why not?
Because
I just heard the opera start in the background, the violins. What's going on?
Man, Clausell still don't want to give your boy his due, man. I mean, like I said, like we had said, y'all wouldn't have beaten LSU without McCarron.
Okay, but look, now that we're down to the end of the show, we got it's prediction time. It's time to put your money where your mouth is. National championship, Florida State, Auburn. No wishy-washy, no wishy-washy, maybe this or that. Who you got?
I'm going to go with Florida
Auburn.
State, Jameson Winston.
Florida State. Clausell, who you got?
Man, this is so tough for me, man. I'm not going to lie to you, man. This is really tough for me, man.
This is where it gets wishy-washy.
I know, man. It is tough for me, man.
But Clausell kept saying about Auburn, though. Clausell said he wouldn't be surprised if Auburn was going to beat Bama, and he kept talking about Florida State. So, you know, it's coming after that time zone, too.
I'm going to go with Florida State. Close.
Of course
45
you are.
To 40. 45 to 40.
Watley, who you got?
I'm going with Auburn by that field goal that they beat Alabama by.
Ridiculous. All right. Steve, who you got?
I'm going with Florida State, and I'm going to tell you one reason why. Because Florida State is going to do what they've done to everybody. They're not going to be like Alabama and kick a field goal and do stupid stuff. They're going to play sound football. And just when Auburn thinks it's close, Florida State is going to walk the dogs on them young men out there. So that's exactly what's going to happen. Y'all seen it in every game they played, and nothing's going to change.
And then you woke up and realized you peed in the bed.
Yeah, I mean, Auburn's going to get their points, man. I mean, they're not going to be able to.
Point. They're
going to
get
their points. Auburn's going to get their points.
In the first half, like every team has done.
Hey, James, who you got? Florida State, Auburn.
Florida State by at least 10 points.
Ooh.
Wow.
So I'm the only Auburn person on here.
Florida State by at least 10 points. Y'all keep forgetting about the lack of defense in Auburn.
As a matter of fact, I'm going to come out and say I think Florida State is going to blow these cats out.
Really?
Okay, so I'm the only Auburn on here, right?
That is insane. Why? I mean, I'm just saying.
I'm the only
this
Auburn
is going to be a
here,
close
right?
game. I don't know why you guys think Florida State is going to blow this team out. Now, I think
I'm
anything
the only Auburn on here,
country.
Right?
But that's
what
insane.
If you have an
offense that's running for over 400 yards almost in the past five, six games of the year, and you're going to sit up here and tell me that Florida State's going to blow them out?
I want to hear somebody say Watley is the only Auburn on here. Because when Auburn wins this game, I don't want to hear y'all coming back talking about, well, I said it, and I was saying if it happened like this, and I was saying if this happened, and that happened. No, niggas.
Tony, you're the only person outside of Bessemer, Alabama that's picking Auburn.
I'm good.
Because,
again, like I told y'all, you know what's going to make the difference? And everybody keep telling me, all of y'all don't told me how Florida State going to win it. Let me tell you how Auburn's going to win it. How every team wins it. They're going to win it in the fourth quarter. Why? Because they're better conditioned, and they are ready to win the game in the end.
Tony, the games that they won in the fourth quarter were off of luck. Those were two luck wins.
Let's just, like I said, they're better conditioned. Let's see it.
You're telling me that Auburn is better conditioned when they pretty much won on two full plays, one against Georgia, one against Alabama. Yet they're supposed to be the ones that finished in the fourth quarter with the lack of defense that they had.
But the thing is, they were there in the end. That means conditioning. They were ready and there in the end. I don't care if it was a fluke play. I don't care if it was a luck play. There and ready to do what they got to do to win the game.
I'm going to tell you this right now, Tony. There's not going to be any fluke or no luck. Florida State is going to beat Auburn, man. I'm going to tell you that
like
right
I
now.
Said.
Why?
Hold on, why? Hold on, hold on. Let him finish. Hey, James, I got a question for you.
Something else.
Okay.
Because since you wanted to bring up Florida State and say that since they were 12-2 last year and they didn't have much of a difference this year, well, I'm going to put it to you like this. Florida State didn't have the offense last year that they did this year because E.J. Manuel made mistakes last year. Jameis Winston didn't make mistakes this year. That's the difference between the 12-2 team and not only an undefeated team, but one that was one of the best offenses in the country this year.
The point is, he argued that they turned the team around. You are arguing that Winston does a better job than Manuel. I'm not arguing that. I'm arguing that there was no turnaround in this team.
Wait.
This team was already a good team when that freshman
Hold on. It's a big difference when you're the number one or number two scoring offense in the country. Then when you're playing last year,
the number two team in your league got blasted today by the number six team in the SEC. The number two team in the ACC got blasted by the number six team in the SEC.
The only cupcake team that FSU played was the University of Florida.
You call it what you will, and you laugh all you want. But like I said, like the number two team in the ACC just got blasted by an SEC team that was about at best the number five SEC at best.
It's funny too, as I believe the only D1 team that they played that has actually lost to a D2 school is the University of Florida too, by the way. Which means that they're the
like I said, you keep going on things that are irrelevant. We're not talking about the Florida Gators. We are talking about the SEC, and we are talking about Auburn. And I'm telling you, Auburn is going to put a mud hole in FSU.
First of all, I got a question for you this year, right? What'd you say?
Just like Florida was going to beat Florida State this year, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, no, that was crazy. Remember that was your lock, Tony?
Florida State had lost four games. I mean, Florida had lost four games in a row when they played Florida State and had lost
to
a Division II team.
I am a Gator. I am always going to say we win.
But I'm telling you right now, as an analyst, Florida State is not as good as Auburn.
Wait a minute, Tony, you said the only reason that Florida lost those games was because they didn't want to win and they were trying to prove it to the coach.
And you said they were going to turn it around against Florida State.
Why do y'all
want to
keep talking about Florida? Let's talk about the national championship game. That's what we were talking about. I thought we were on here to talk about the national championship game. Let's talk about the national championship game.
This is Gator. This is
you want to know why Auburn is better than FSU? You want to know why Auburn is better than FSU? Because Auburn has played 5 or 6 bowl games this year already and played a national championship this year and won them all, which means they are
I'm not particularly worried about
paired.
University of Auburn. I'm more worried about University of Florida.
Florida State has not played a single game that was even considered BCS worthy, not even bowl worthy. Every single one of the teams they played sucked. Every single one of them. So as far as preparation, FSU has had 3 weeks to get ready for Auburn, whereas Auburn has been playing championship teams for an entire year, and I'm telling you, preparation is going to pay off on championship day.
And that's your only valid point right there. I think that's the only valid point you made right there. Florida State has not played the level of competition that Auburn has played. But I still think Florida State will win, but I don't think it's going to be a blowout like you guys think it's going to be. I don't see that at all. Because the
Florida State will beat Auburn by at least 10 points. Not a question.
See, I don't see how you can say that because
not a question.
The way
not
Auburn's
that.
Offense
not
hold on,
a
I understand
question.
That Auburn doesn't have a defense. I understand what you're saying, Auburn doesn't have a great defense. But the way their offense is running, I don't see Florida State even with their great defense. You saw
look,
what Florida State, I mean, you saw
look,
what Auburn was able to do against Alabama. You saw what Auburn was able to
look,
do against Missouri, which are one of the two best defenses in the country. So I'm
saying
it's going to be something
said.
Similar. They're going to do something similar to Florida State. That's the point I'm saying. But Florida State is going to have to be able to score points, too.
Auburn has already played 2 BCS games. Auburn has already played 2 BCS games. They beat the national champion team, and they beat the best team from the Eastern Conference of the SEC. That's 2 teams that could have both been to the national championship game. They have played real teams, and they have learned how to win real teams. And FSU is going to come in there high on this bullcrap that they've been playing against these daisies, and they're going to get in there and get blasted. I'm telling you.
But I'm going to say this again. At least 10 points. You got to understand something. I could care less about Auburn's running game. You're going to have to stop Florida State. And let me tell you this. If they go up by at least 10 or 14 points early in this game, they are going
to
lose.
No,
come
but I see what you're saying,
team.
James. James, you don't care about Auburn's running game, but nobody's been able to stop it. That's the point I'm saying. You're going to have
exactly.
to stop it.
And you
nobody's been able to stop it. That's what I'm saying. How can you not care about it when nobody stopped
exactly.
it? They've been running
but,
wild
but,
on the
no,
best defense in the country.
What did I just follow up with? I said Florida State goes up by 10 or 14 points.
It's not going to happen.
Because they're going
to
run.
But what I'm saying is Auburn can continue.
James, let me finish. He's talking about a defense that held the number one team who had not lost a game in 2 years to a game to where they literally had to make a 95-yard go down the field just to tie the game. These boys, you can talk about their defense all you want, but they had them on their heels even when they – could have lost the game. What I'm telling you is Auburn was always in that Alabama game. They wasn't getting blown out. That last play wasn't a luck play. They put themselves in a position to win the game, and they won it.
So, hold on. Why? I mean, James, the point I'm making is Auburn's offense in terms of the running game is equivalent to Florida State's offense with the passing game and the running game combined. In terms of the production of what they do, yards per game is equivalent to what – that's what I'm saying. So if the point is, I think the more pressure's on Florida State to keep up in the scoring with Auburn. I don't think the more pressure – the pressure's on Auburn to keep up with Florida State. I think the pressure's on Florida State to keep up with Auburn.
I disagree with that.
Because
James Winston, but they have the ability to
what you saying?
James Winston can't throw touchdowns when he's on his back. That's all I can tell you. That offensive line ain't seen no defense like the SEC defense they about to see on championship night. He can't throw no touchdowns if he's on his back.
just like he was on his back against Florida, right? Okay, but let me move
like
to
I
that
said,
Auburn
Florida
number.
He did great against Florida, though. Tony, your Florida defense was supposed to be one of the top recruitful players on that defense, so, I mean, hey,
okay,
he bowed out in
the
swamp.
Beginning of the year. That was at the beginning of the year. At the end of the year, Florida's defense was not ranked like y'all keep talking. We all know Florida had a bad year. Can we let that go? We are not talking about the Florida Gators. We are talking about the Auburn Tigers.
And then let's move
focus
to this
on the
thing
Auburn
about
Tigers.
What you got to say about Alabama, James?
Alabama made a lot of mistakes in that game. Right or wrong?
And you don't think FSU going to make any mistakes?
They would make, that's what I'm saying. They would make the same mistakes that Florida State would make.
Free of mistakes, but what I'm saying is.
So you're telling me
Alabama,
FSU ain't going to make mistakes? Jameis Winston was throwing interceptions all year long.
Hold on. Let me finish this point. One. Alabama in that game against Auburn missed multiple field goals against Auburn. One. Number two, that last play really didn't make any sense to me why you would call a timeout in the aspect. I really should have said that they should have just let that game go into overtime and not kick a long field goal like that. That was on Alabama's fault for doing that, number one. Okay? So,
but that don't prove that they were going to win,
But
even if they called a timeout, that doesn't mean Alabama was going to win the game. If they called a timeout,
in the game.
They would extend the game, but that don't prove that they were going to win the game, though. I mean, I understand what point you're trying to make there. But keep going, keep going.
You always play to win the game, man. What are you talking about? It's the last play of the game. Why not try to win it? They didn't think that it was going to fall that short and that man was going to run it back. They couldn't have seen that before they kicked that ball. They thought that ball was going to go through the uprights. You acting like they knew that ball was going to be short.
No.
Come on, now.
I feel Tony on that. Hey, you didn't win the game.
I'm trying to understand your point. Yeah, I'm listening.
But over the course of the game, didn't Alabama miss field goal after field goal after field goal? True or false?
They missed field goals, yes. That's true.
Okay.
So if you have that, what a team usually does is they don't put too much emphasis on the field goal kicker going in the end of the game. They at least try to extend
the game. Okay, but what do you lose to kick a field goal and miss it and go into overtime? You lose nothing. They did not see that ball being picked off by that man in the end zone and ran back. What they saw was he could either make it and we win, or he misses it and we go into overtime. That's how they saw it. No, they did not see that. What they saw was kick it, we make it, we win, we miss it, we go into overtime. That's what they saw.
That means that Steve Saban ain't that good of a coach then.
Come on.
All right, man, hold on. I'm not getting your point when you say, I don't see how you can say that Florida's going to blow this team out. I don't see how you can make a case of that because I don't think Florida State's going – Auburn's going to get their yards rushing. I mean, and like I said, the offense-wise, they're the closest to what we've seen since Nebraska in the 90s. So they're not going to get their yards.
Here we go.
You can laugh at that all you want to. It's the truth, man. But I'm just saying that they're going to get their yards. So they're going to score their points. The issue is, does Florida State have the quarterback to keep up the score with Auburn? And I think they do with Jameis Winston because he's the best quarterback in the country, in my personal opinion. So
now, see, I disagree with that.
I know you disagree with that. Let me tell you, Florida State has a good quarterback.
Then they ain't got to worry about having a good
But what I'm saying is, even if Florida State, you can say Florida State has a defense, but even with that defense, they're still not going to be able to stop Auburn from running the ball. They will not be able to stop it. They've been running the ball on the best defenses in the country.
Wait, hold on.
Florida State has a number one defense in the country. What are you talking about?
It doesn't matter. Alabama, hold up. First of all, Auburn was able to run for over 400 to 500 yards. I think 400 yards against Missouri. Missouri was one of the best defenses in the country. They ran for over 200 against Alabama.
They're not trying to hear you, Clausell. Alabama ran
for over 200 against Alabama. And Alabama never
ran
for that
much yards.
What I'm saying is, Auburn's going to run the ball against Florida State. It didn't matter if they had the best defense in the country or not. They're going to run the ball.
Clausell, you're using logic and common sense versus statistics. They don't want to hear logic and common sense.
They're going by the numbers.
Wait a minute. So the point I'm saying is, Tony,
are you trying to say that logic
they're going by
and
the numbers
aren't related?
The numbers said that Alabama was going to beat Auburn. Did it happen? No.
Who told me that Bill O'Brien was the offensive coordinator of the New England Patriots?
The point is, you have to hold on to the statistics and the numbers, and I'm telling you, when push comes to shove, yesterday's numbers don't tell you what's going to happen tomorrow. I'm telling you that. It's about who wants it more. And I'm telling you, in the fourth quarter, the SEC team is going to be better than the ACC team.
You're saying the whole field of statistics is just irrelevant and made up, then, in other words.
I'm saying that statistics matter after you retire. Statistics don't matter during the game. I promise you that.
Okay.
So the point I'm saying is, this is what I'm saying. I don't know if you guys disagree with me. I believe Auburn is going to still get their yards, regardless of how good Florida State's defense is. They're going to still run for over 250 yards in this game. So my thing is, it's up to Florida State to keep up with Auburn's offense. So that is dependent upon Winston and how efficient he is with the ball. I mean, he can't turn the ball over because Auburn's not going to be able to – they're probably not going to turn the ball over because all they do is run the ball. They don't even throw the ball half the time. So all they're going to do is run the ball.
Clausell, can we be honest? We do know that Winston has the propensity to turn the ball over. Has he not thrown
interceptions? I disagree with that. I disagree with you there. I think Winston's very good with ball security. He has thrown
interceptions
this year, but he's very good. He's thrown a lot more touchdowns than interceptions. He's only threw 10 interceptions this year.
The difference in this game, Clausell, is when you're playing the cupcakes, the interceptions just turn into a turnover, and it's three and out. When you're playing against Auburn, that interception becomes a touchdown.
Now, that's legitimate there, and that's what I said. It's up to Winston. That's legitimate. So the point I'm saying is it's up to Winston to be able to take care of the ball because it's on him at the end of the day. And I think Winston is able to do that.
The difference is the interceptions in this game turn into touchdowns. The interceptions against them cupcakes just meant that you didn't score that time and you're going to get the ball back in three plays. There is a difference here. And I'm telling you, when that young freshman comes in nervous because he's in the national championship playing against the team that beat the best team in the country and gets hit a couple of times and starts throwing a little wobbly, it's going to be over.
No, hold on. First of all, I disagree with you. I don't think he's going to be nervous coming into the game. I don't think he's going to be nervous because
I gave you an analogy, it's a national championship, though, Clausell, but I told you
when the pressure was on him, he delivered. Every time the pressure's been on him, he delivered.
He's never been under this kind of pressure.
He's been under a lot of pressure since the time he first came on the field. And I know James don't like me to use the analogy of LeBron James, his first game. But what I'm saying is the guy is not scared.
I'm with James on that. Don't use that analogy either, Clausell.
Come on now. Anyway, I'm going to let that go. But Winston's not scared.
There's no way you can tell me Jameis Winston this year has been under the pressure he's going to be under in the national championship game. There's no way you can tell me any game he's played this year was the same pressure that he's going to feel in the national championship game.
But he's been in high pressure situations. He was in a high pressure situation his first game.
He's been in high pressure situations.
What I'm saying to you is Auburn has been in this situation. When they played Alabama, that was like playing the national championship. When they played Alabama, that's like playing the national championship. When they played Missouri, that's like playing the national championship. They have been in this pressure, and they know how to handle it. James Winston has not been in this pressure.
But this is the point I'm saying. It's all on Winston. What I'm saying is it's all on Winston. Winston's going to have to be able to take care of the ball. And I know one thing I'm beginning to notice with Winston, I mean, he's very competitive. He's a gunslinger. He likes to – he likes to make a show at the beginning of the game. He has to be careful with – but at the end of the day, he has to be very careful with the ball in this game because he can't turn the ball over because if Auburn gets the ball, you know, they're going to most likely take advantage of the situation. So Winston has to be very – he has to take care of the ball. What'd you say?
And I got a question for all of y'all, FSU fans. Y'all want to keep talking about FSU as the better team? If they're the better team, what happens when Winston gets the shit knocked out of him and he gets taken out of the game? Is your team going to be able to beat Auburn?
You do realize that FSU has about three or four other people that are going to be going in the first round.
I'm asking you a question, yes or no?
No, but they wouldn't win the game.
Because
Winston,
I'm telling
Winston
you
win.
That with Auburn, if their
yes,
running back gets kicked out of the game, Auburn can still beat FSU.
Can
FSU still beat Auburn if Winston gets out of the game? Because you don't know that man ain't going to get hurt.
You don't know who's going to get hurt on Auburn, so what are you talking about?
No,
but
Auburn has about three or four backs. Auburn has about – everybody's talking about the guy, the running back.
What if Auburn's quarterback gets hurt? All Auburn does
– Auburn got a backup. Auburn's got a backup.
Play with their quarterback.
Auburn got a backup.
Auburn's team is not based around their quarterback. Auburn's team is based around their running back. And like I said, even if their number one running back got hurt, you can put another man in and they can still run their offense and beat FSU in the national championship. Can you say the same thing about FSU?
Yes, they can. Yes, they can. That's not true, Cali Mike. They can. They are deep at running back, and they have another quarterback.
How do you know anything that's true or not true about a hypothetical situation?
Hold on, what are you talking about? They run them, they use them all three in the game all the time. They have like three different backs, man. They can gas you every time.
You don't know.
They play them every week.
Same effect as Trey Mason. You don't know that.
They do have the same effect as Trey Mason. They do have the same effect as Trey Mason. Auburn has about three guys that can gas you at any given moment. They do.
They got at least two running backs that play every single game.
Yeah, Trey Mason just happens to be the best
one.
But
Auburn hurt, they ain't lost nothing.
Yeah, but Trey Mason's is probably the best one, but the other two of them are pretty good too. That play every week.
Okay,
they don't. Trey
good,
Mason's not like the only
those,
guy that runs the ball
dudes,
there.
If those dudes were that good, they would contend to be the starter. Trey Mason's the starter. He's going to be the starter.
Yeah, but the other two guys are good. Oh, so Lindell White is not as good. Okay, if Lindell White's not as good as Reggie Bush, that means Lindell White is bad at USC.
Lindell White was the starting running back, but you didn't know that, did you?
I'm talking about this game. If the starting running back for Auburn gets hurt, they can put in their second string and still beat FSU. What I'm asking you is, if we put Winston on his butt and he can't play no more, do you still say FSU is a better team?
First of all, you said you thought FSU was going to win, right?
No. I do.
How do you think Auburn's going to beat them if they lose their starting running back, genius?
Because they got two or three guys that can gash at any time.
But
they
you
got
said
two
FSU's
guys.
Gonna
I think
win,
if they lose
right?
Nick Marshall. I think if they lose Nick Marshall, they can still win.
FSU's going to win, right?
Yeah, FSU's going to win, yeah, because I think Jameis Winston's going to be able to take care of the ball.
Hold on. So you give Auburn a better chance of winning if they lose their starting running back? Do you understand what you're saying?
Yes. Yeah, because Winston's more valuable to FSU than or Trey Mason is
to
Auburn.
We're not talking about
Winston. Winston's
We're
a lot more valuable
Auburn.
To – what about Auburn? What? Say it again.
Auburn, said,
yes. What I'm saying is if Auburn loses –
like you're missing the comparison.
You know,
the
I'm
comparison
saying,
was if
okay,
Auburn lost their starter and
right,
FSU lost
saying,
their starter, he'll be able to win.
Right, finish what you
you're
say,
talking
Cali,
about
Mike.
If
okay.
Auburn lost their starter
okay.
and FSU
right,
kept
okay,
their
right,
starter.
Okay.
That's not the comparison.
All right, okay.
All right, finish what you got to say. I'm going to let you talk.
I get what he's saying because Winston's a big star for them. You know, they can't lose him. I get what he's saying.
What you got to say?
I don't even want to.
Well, let me say my point is, yeah, Winston is a lot more valuable to Florida State than Trey Mason
okay.
is to Auburn or Nick Marshall is to Auburn because they got guys that can just replace them with.
Okay.
And their
offense
is just going to keep going.
And that was the point.
Right.
The point was, if both of the teams lost their star, which one would still be able to be a total team? Because this is supposed to be a team game, not an individual game. And you guys are putting all your ducks and all your eggs in the basket of Winston. What happens if Winston gets his bell rung and can't play no more? That's what we're saying. What happens then? If they're supposed to be a good team, then it ain't about the individual. It's about the team.
But Wiley,
but
I don't think Winston's going to get...
Tony, you're the same person who said Winston didn't have that much of an effect on the team. But okay, keep going.
No, I said he's got an effect on the team, but the team itself is a good team without him. You could put a backup quarterback into... You could put the second-string quarterback for FSU into FSU's lineup, and FSU will still be a good team. They may not be a national championship team, but they're a good team. Why? Because FSU has a good team.
Wait a minute, but just 10 minutes ago you were arguing against this same point.
But what I'm saying is I never said they didn't have a good team, but without their star, Auburn is a better team.
James, you have anything to say, James?
The only thing that I was going to point out was the thing that was in the news sticker when they showed these bowl games is that they pretty much put Florida State ahead of Auburn by 13 points according to the ESPN Power Index. That's all I wanted to point out.
Yeah, statistics. That's all you all ever want to do. Statistics.
But like I said, it all depends on Jameis Winston, man. Jameis Winston is going to have to.
Went through the whole SEC, so according to that, they should be the more, they should have the team, or they should be the ones with the advantage over Florida State because of their power index being in the SEC, but that's not the case.
Statistically, Auburn wasn't supposed to be Alabama.
We're talking about the same
statistically,
network.
Statistically, Auburn wasn't supposed to be Missouri.
Right?
Statistically, Auburn wasn't supposed to win either one of those games.
All I got to say is put your money where your mouth is.
A better team than Missouri, but okay.
No, Auburn was not a better team than Missouri. Missouri had the number one defense in the country.
No, they didn't.
Put your money where your mouth is, Tony.
No, they didn't, and they never have, but okay.
Anyway, what I'm telling you is, statistically, Missouri was supposed to beat Auburn, and statistically, no matter what your statistics say, when they got on the field, the Auburn Tigers came off the field with the victory. And it's the same way with FSU. Statistically, you can say what you want, but a statistic means nothing. You can make a statistic say anything.
Yo, we're going to get cut off, y'all.
This Blake Bortles is playing a pretty good game here against Baylor, man.
All right, but hold up. So, all right, okay.
Fellas, Happy New Year.
Folks, we are.
Tony, hang up.
Yeah, Wiley, hang up. Yeah, he hung up.
Yeah. All right, look, y'all. Anyway, let's just...
I get what he was saying, but hey, that's why they play the games, and they got to play it. We'll see Monday.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Let's disagree to disagree till Monday. Shit, I'm going to be on here. I'll probably...
We'll find out who'll be right next Wednesday, baby. FSU Seminole, Auburn Tiger.
Exactly. All right, well, anyway, thanks everybody for joining the show. We're going to go ahead and wrap things up. Anything anybody wanted to say last minute stuff?
Yeah, like I said, it all depends on Winston, man. Winston's going to have a very efficient game. He's capable of doing that because I think he's the best quarterback in the country. Number one pick in the draft, probably when he comes out. So, you know, I hope he does well, man. That's why I'm picking Florida State to win this game, but I think it's going to be a very close game, though. I don't think it's going to be a blowout like people think it is.
No, I don't think it's going to be a blowout either.
But at the same time, if Auburn wins, that means Alabama will be a national championship for 5 straight years. A team from the state of Alabama has won the national championship for 5 straight years. So just remember that, Cali Bites.
Speaking of that, Quasi, I'm going to go ahead and end the show with this. I'm glad Matt has this loaded up in the sound system already.
So I guess if this thing comes up short, he can field it and run it out. All right, here we go. 56-yarder. It's got, no, does not have the legs. And Chris Davis takes it to the back of the end zone. He'll run it out to the 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40, 45, 50, 45. There goes Davis.
Oh, my God.
Davis is going to run it all the way back. Auburn's going to win the football game. Auburn's going to win the football game. He ran the missed field goal back. He ran it back 109 yards. They're not going to keep him off the field tonight. Holy cow. Oh, my God. Auburn wins. Auburn has won the Iron Bowl. Auburn has won the Iron Bowl in the most unbelievable fashion you will ever see. I cannot
believe it. That's cold. I know hearing everything. Quazell's like, man.
28. And we thought a miracle in Jordan-Hare was a...
At least 10 points.
That should be the end of Alabama. I want to go ahead and thank everybody for coming out.
Oh, please. That ain't the end of us. You can forget that crap.